Blog Talk Radio.
My brain came from the depth of space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. All I view is nothing new, just deja vu. A clue of my afterlife, a previous one before this one too. The shell of my essence, shed skin, stepping in to my photonic origin, genesis without the gin. Garden of Eden collapsed like nemesis, saving humans in a time lapse. Feel my solar energies and give room to me. I got nine celestial spheres in tune with me. From the underworld to this world, I use my principle. It's the infinity that's invincible. The unmoved mover, primordial heal. Still communicating with me at will. Through the arc amulet, photons they project like a fifth dimensional holograph that steps. Brainwaves telepathically reach to deep, giving me revelation in REM sleep. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. Offshoot from my comedic predecessors, inside a nation of beings like Abraham's children, in the wilderness willing to do what I must to survive. And all this job, animated dead that's alive, around my parameters from La Brea to finesse. Ignorance is what kills you, what a nigga will do. Me and my folks, totes, busy with smoke, various hydroponics that makes one choke. But no lead to smoke with the blunt and the lighter. You can come in real, but you gotta respect the cipher. We're doing too much, observation is the policy. Fools yap too much and get trapped in idiocy. Hush up that crap, put that BS on the shelf. No outside interference, just building on the self. Brain rolls off the depths of time and space with antiquity of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. Clear night skies, hope it's like this tomorrow. On the California border, looking at the constellation from Barstow. Area 51, not far from here, I feel nervousness as I create magnetic disturbances. But I get contact from way out there, out of the nowhere, a Pluto's orbit. Prepare for invasions of the energies in the last hour. Clash of the titans over universal power. Dark signs, exercise, and mystify. Magical methods of power to deify. A man over the evil of degeneration and aging. My vision's not blurry, even as a centurion. Walking the earth, 22nd century AD. Mystic, phenomenal simplicity. Live by laws of nature, tied as a black fist. That which exists will always exist. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx. Higher nature over lower nature. Self-mastery, black dot universal.
The fact, the act facetious, in fact, the rack, the pack, the fact, the
see speechless. Grief from the palm of the non-believers. Son of me wondering how they become underachievers. One of the best, the perennial keynote speaker. And I got it, you want it, come get it. I want it and I will show you a way to let my people go today. Try to get over, slow to get under.
Let my people go.
I make it feel so good, you don't need to wonder.
Let my people go.
I take away the storm clouds and rain and thunder.
Let my people go.
Somebody say it.
Let my people go.
Somebody say it.
Let my people go.
They're trying to sell lies to the people, huh? Knowing it's hard times for the people, huh? I knock your ass unconscious, put it up on YouTube, then film a sequel so it's free for the people, huh? Go on ahead and download it, I'ma teach you how. Be as a prophet, a pastor, a preacher with undisputable logic for blasting through your speaker now. I'm trying to learn your monk ass, I'm trying to reach you now. And still you're like, who's this dude? Return to fix shape the game like Rubik's Cube. Chicks see his brolic now, ruthless too. Spit the gospel on wax, what he chooses to do. Damn, open your eyes, man, you've been bamboozled by the usual plan. Sit up the middle like Sam Musual. If y'all are telling me today's music is suitable and appealing, and I'm telling you the feelings are not mutual.
Try to get over, you know to get under. Let my people go.
I make it feel so good, you don't have to wonder.
Let my people go.
I take away the storm clouds, the rain and sun.
Let my people go.
See the crack of your ass, you see your butt, you need to let all the people go. Best to collect the plate to give me all of my dough. And if you're wondering what's under my robe, my old rusty ass 38 stub nose. And just in case you're thinking that my shit don't work, I don't wanna try robbing my church.
You know how to get over, you know to get under.
So good, you don't need to wonder. Let my people,
go.
Peace, peace, peace. We back once again. First World of Radio. We're gonna have a special guest coming on in a few, and that's Brother Panic. You know who he is. One of the top metaphysicians in his field, an occultist. And we're going to bring on Brother L here and see if he can. Okay. Brother L, you here?
Yes, sir, brother. I tell you, what's your east, brother?
Hey, what's your east? I'm glad. Okay, I got you on. Making sure I was able to get you on. All right. So, what we're going to be doing tonight is going over some question and answering. From Brother Panic, but before we even get to that, I got something that I want to drop on the, conscious community, you know, as we say, and it's dealing actually with the death of Nelson Mandela that's supposed to have taken place December the 5th. However, we have reports on which that he actually died June 26th, you know, of earlier this year. Now, what are some of the facts concerning it? Well, let's go into it. There's an article called "Did Obama Know Date of Mandela's Death Was June 26, 2013?" Mm-hmm. Now, I found the article interesting because it gave some connection pieces, like, for example, President Barack Obama may have already known the real date of Nelson Mandela's death and studiously planned funeral when he made his June 2013 African trip. and was even able to take the photo he would later tweet on the day of Mandela's official announced death while he was still in South Africa. Now, claiming to deter the Mandela family members on visiting the Ellen Mandela during his June 28th through 30th, which is called Whistle Stop Through Johannesburg, Obama instead met with South African President Jacob Zuma. Now, Zuma was one of the key figures who kept the news that the doctors had been keeping Mandela alive in a vegetative state, a top world secret. Now, I said, among thousands of news outlets, only one newspaper made a vigilant attempt to get the true story out and basically keep it there. And that actually was Las Vegas Guardian Express. And it stated that Mandela died on June 26, 2013, and was kept on life support until December 2013, which actually
wow.
until December 5th, 13. Now, anyone who have read the Las Vegas Guardian Express from June onward, we know that he did die on June 26, 2013, and the article published and stated that the icon had been declared dead and the family told to shut down the life support system. The article had been written after two sources connected and contacted the papers, South African correspondents, to relate that the legend had actually died on June 11th, or more accurately, was declared brain dead, but officially died June 26th. Now, check this out. It says, on December the 5th, the White House tweeted a picture showing Obama holding the bars of Robben Island's prison. Now, you know, the Robben Island prison, that's where they would take the so-called slaves and transport them during what is called the transatlantic or the mid-Atlantic slave trade. Now, that was near there, I should say, but this is actually where Robben Island actually was the prison, where Mandela was held at, incarcerated for 27 years.
Right.
But the picture tweeted was on December the 5th, 2013, but the photo was taken actually June 29th, 2013, when Barack and Michelle Obama visit the famous site there, and, you know, they're in, you know, in South Africa. And it said that this is the story of Mandela, June 26th death, following his persistent vegetative state, as reported by the Guardian Express. So this is what they said about it, all right? And there's some other things in which they talk about here, in which that definitely knocks out some of the things in which that has been stated as far as his so-called official death now of just, you know, dying December the 5th. So I just want to drop that right quick and have everybody go and do their research and study and find out what's really going on here. You know, some more false flags, but then we know that they love to do rituals.
Mm-hmm.
We know that one of the things
right.
in which we know that AFRICOM had entered into Africa during the Bush administration. He put that together in which that, you know, AFRICOM is actually there in order to rape Africa again, you know, of its resource, diamonds, gold, minerals, oil. Matter of fact, the United States is now purchasing more oil from Africa than they are from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the interesting things is that just a little over 2 weeks ago, you know, the maritime force for Africa, in particular East Africa, the United States and the European nations concluded exercise called the Cutlass Express 2013. And it says the Cutlass Express is one of the four African regional express series, all right, exercises facilitated by the United States Naval Forces Europe, naval forces, and Africa. All right? The objective of the exercise was to increase regional cooperation, in other words, colonialization, and putting in their puppeteers. It says maritime dominant awareness, information sharing, and improved communication amongst participating forces in order to counter piracy and maritime threats. Okay, so that's what just ended, you know, less than a week prior to also of Nelson Mandela's so-called death of December the 5th. Mm-hmm. So the joint effort by the United States, by the European nations, and by almost 51 countries, or, you know, so-called states in Africa, you know? And one of the things in which that they was talking about was that, well, actually about 35 out of the 51 states. But one of the things in which they was talking about was that South Africa was real skeptical about the United States coming in with their forces and actually did not like it and would not actually would not communicate with the four-star general, General Ham. At the time, they would not talk with him. They would not invite him into the country in order to sit down to mediate. Matter of fact, the ANC basically said, hell no. And you know the former president of the ANC was Nelson Mandela. So they were saying this, and so AFRICOM did not have a way into South Africa at that time. But of course, now with the death of Nelson Mandela, you know, that opens some type of leeway now, you know, and the reason why they sprung it on, you know, at this particular time, you know, a week and a half right after this so-called East African, you know, Express or Cutlass Express, in which that they were supposedly protecting the borders, you know, the waters and the borders of Africa on the eastern seaboard. And of course, they would love to get down into South Africa in order to, you know, put in their military industrialization, because that's basically what it is. Industry, you know, is to put in their military, to set up a military base. And that's actually what they've been doing within these 35 countries or more in Africa. You know, so we wanted to talk about that right quick. And so everybody go into your research and check it out and see what's going on.
Right.
Right now, I'm getting ready to bring on Brother Panic. Brother Panic, you here, bro?
Peace. What's going on, Aline?
Peace. How you doing tonight?
Chilling. What's up, Brother Al?
What's up, Brother Panic? How you doing today, brother?
Everything's good. Everything's good. It's interesting what you were saying, Aline. Real interesting what you were saying.
All right.
And when the first thing that comes to me, once someone makes a transition and they hold on to them like that, it's definitely ritual. And they're trying to release.
Exactly.
They're trying to release the information at a certain time to create. And it sounds like you already laid it out to create an energy for a certain event.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Why, like, they did it with James Brown. They had his body out for a certain amount of days on the 25th, because it was bringing in that winter solstice. And out of that death, something new comes about. So they may be preparing to get into something new, like you said. So when they have a sacrifice, and see, the sacrifice works. It's not the day he died, it's the day the people believe he died, because the sorrow
exactly.
Or the mourning is what they're trying to feed off of. So they're trying to release, they're trying to get you to mourn at a certain time. Whenever you have a synchronized emotion, it actually goes into a layer in the atmosphere, a layer that they're trying to tap into. Like, for instance, Christianity, when, you know, everyone's told, well, they got the steeples as antennas on top of the building. because all of that jumping up and down, Kundalini spitting at the mouth on a Sunday over a deity called invention called Jesus creates an energy frequency in the air. Right,
yeah.
The white
yeah.
creates an energy frequency. That's why Sunday has a feel to it.
Yeah.
Now, and that's why Sunday has a feel to it, because there's a certain energy in the air. So they did it with Reagan as well. It was reported that Reagan had been dead, and his fucking facsimile, you know, has been they told us it was dead at a certain time. And so we could get the energy in. Who was it that somebody black important passed away at the same time? So they used that energy to try to send Reagan to a greater death.
That was Ray Charles.
Ray Charles,
right.
It was Ray Charles.
Right. 73, and Reagan supposedly died at 95, something like that.
Right.
And
right.
Thing that happened with Gerald Ford too, who died at 95, and then during that same time, the same day, James Brown died at the age of 73.
Right. All of that's ritual, and what they're trying to do is take these dead individuals and use that same energy that we're mourning for something that's real.
Right.
James Brown, Ray Charles, and so on, and they're trying to use that energy to skyrocket their energy someplace else, or use the energy to push an agenda. You know what I mean? Kill thousands of 9/11, then start a war. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sacrifice.
Right.
For
my wife
war.
Was saying that you know, possibly could be Paul Walker. You know, in connection with Nelson Mandela.
Right. Oh, interesting. That's right. Interesting.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Very interesting, because that's very on point. That's very on point. We need to pay attention to that.
Near the,
definitely.
The Saturnalian festival too.
Right.
Where the stars and sets at, and where the moon sets at, where the sun sets at. And we have all that correlated with Mandela's death here near the Saturnalian Festival. And all that's coincided with each other.
Right, all coincide. And what's interesting is when you look at the Paul Walker crash scene, the fucking tree is some shit you could dig up with your hands, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It should look like, you know, it should look like an elephant stepped on this car. But if you see the tree, it just don't add up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just don't add up. So, you know, all that's interesting. And it's definitely ritual. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely ritual.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, you know, people got to need to remember who these people are. You know what I mean? You know, because I heard a couple of people, well, he's 90-something. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? They just could wait for him to die. And, again, the ritual, they didn't have to kill him, but now that he is dead, they can still use the energy, which is basically telling you.
But the funny thing is that he was 95 also.
Right.
He was 90. Gerald Ford was 95. Ronald Reagan was 95.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly 95.
They were both allegedly 95.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. All ritual, I mean. All ritual. You know what I'm saying? All ritual. It's a matter of seeing what develops, you know, as the world turns shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
The only thing you can do is see what develops. It sounds like Aleem already broke what's going on with him. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Already broke what's going on with him. Quite interested indeed. So, yes, we are here. Once again, we'll be back this week. I didn't get a chance to send out many emails, so the room is not overflowing like usual. It's a busy week, so we're going to still come back next week as well to keep it going. And we're going to continue with Q&A, and I'm bringing up a couple of things that I find interesting. I didn't get a chance. It was a very hectic week. And next week I'm going to start classes, but I didn't get a chance, but I was going to start to deal with some stuff, and I can't remember the scientific name. there's a scientific name for what we commonly call fate. Now, the textbook definition of fate, let's go on and get it real quick so we could just have it. We're going to talk about this just a little bit. I had it up earlier. All right, 1 second. And I'm going to read it textbook style so we know. All right, fate, it just means the development of events beyond a person's control, regarded and determined by a supernatural power. So a development of events based upon that's beyond a human control, something that you cannot control, determined by a supernatural power, meaning something that's greater than you. Now, when we walk around and say, well, we're gods, we're goddesses and lords of attraction, it seems to contradict. But there's actually a theory. I can't remember the name of this shit. And that, like I said, I didn't get a chance to get into it because I was going to go a little bit harder. But there's something that you perceive as free will, and there's something that's and fate is something that's laid out beforehand. Now, way before I started even pondering the concept, in my study, I started noticing spiritually and how things would line up, that there were certain things or certain events that seemed to have been put into place on a personal level, on a major level, that it seems to have been put in place not while I'm here, but a decision I made before I got here. As if I made, and when I did when I got the channels, what I was told back then, and not even connecting it to what we're talking about now, that we all made these agreements. There were agreements that I said I would meet up with Aleem. There's agreements that said I'll be a more with Aleem, and then in the future, me and Aleem will do this. Me and Bobby will do this. Me and this one will do that. Your father will do that. Your uncle will do that. Your sister will do that. This one will disappoint you. This one will make you happy. All of these things happen because it configures you for your path, which is something else conscious people like to say all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's your path. It's your path. It's your path. Well, what's your path? And where was your path laid out? And as a god or a goddess, when did you lay this path out, if you will? So if you hear the definition of fate, regarded, determined as supernatural power, something that was put in effect that's beyond a person's control. We know there's nothing outside of us. See, the average person would say Jesus or God is doing that. But what I've come to, even again, before I started to deal with this, what I come to the determination was we made these choices, and basically living this human existence is actually you playing out choices that you made prior. And we're calling it fate. Now, if I remember the scientific name, it would sound a little bit more special. You get what I'm saying? Or destiny. The idea is, first and foremost, us understanding that this is an illusion, that this does not exist. There's nothing really we can, until we're in it, can come down here and really say has happened to us more than the perceived experience. So this is not really happening. You didn't really get robbed. You was never really a slave. You never really was raped. You never really raped anyone. It is a stage show that you're in for the sake of the stage show as the teacher, as the university. So therefore, you have to have a preconceived plan to say, I need to play a certain role. Same way if we were to create a Hollywood picture, everyone would stand up and say, I need to be this character here.
Brother now, Panic, didn't they always just in kindergarten or in nursery school, roll the boat gently down, merrily, 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 life is nothing but a dream.
But a dream. Right. See, now we pull this illusionary thing, right, in this context, in this particular context, what it tells us as life being this merrily, merrily dream that's actually an affirmation to remind you that this is a dream when you start to take it seriously. It's actually life is but a dream as you roll down this stream. And
right.
And ultimately, in this context, what it's trying to tell you is nothing you can do here or nothing being done to you is actually happening. It's a dream. So when our greatest greatness is we were slaves and they were this and they were that, yeah, we're supposed to complain and talk about it and decode it in the context because that's what we came to do as a part of the script,
mm-hmm.
as a part of the movie scene.
Right.
But as you go home and you understand from a metaphysical or occult understanding, really life is but a dream. Nothing really happened. So now there's also something called a more fati or fati, something like that.
Right, the love of
your faith. Right. Yeah. Right. It's the Latin for basically a mentality to love your faith. So when you hear it is basically wise men who said there are certain things that you, well, in the Bible, they'll tell you that you get that line, give me the power to change the things I can and the strength to accept the things I can. You know, that little bullshit. But if you take that to his metaphysical understanding, what it's trying to tell you is there are certain things that will never change based upon fate, and then there's a layer of things that are perceived as change, right, or perceived as under your control, like which deodorant you pick, which toothpaste you use, how often you brush your teeth. See, really, and then this brings in magic. Well, what are we doing with magic? Magic only changes your perspective on an event. So, for instance, if Aleem and I both have no money, $30 may be a lot to me and $300 may be to him. So Aleem does a ritual, gets $300, I get my $30. I'm looking at it as magic. Aleem is looking at it like that's chump change.
Mm-hmm.
So his perspective is different, even though we both did whatever we needed to do to get whatever we felt we needed. And that's what we talked about last week. Your perception, and if you watch that Kumari thing that I was talking about, and if people who missed the show last week, you need to go back and download. I talked about a show on Netflix called Kumari, and it's real interesting, and it's about perception. So the way you perceive things is what you're changing in magic. Or this laws of attraction shit that everyone seems to be hung up on. But your fate will always be the same. So, for instance, I came to be a teacher. That's going to happen no matter what I do. No matter what toothpaste I use, no matter what girlfriend I have or think I have, or what my living conditions are, what my job is, there's a certain thing that you cannot extract. So when I sit back and go, one time a nigga almost shot me, but the gun wouldn't go off. I'm magical. One time a nigga was supposed to do that, and that didn't happen. I was almost fell off the bridge. I had diabetes, but it went away. It's perceived that you did some kundalini work, you did some echinacea work, you did some magical work. That's the perception. But the fate is you came here with a task that cannot be taken away from you. That's the theory now. That you've come to teach, and no matter what happens on this planet, you will never die until you complete that mission. Because that supernatural power, which is nothing more than yourself, that put it into action, it's working on a higher technology than what you perceive to be your free will. So. Now, if you understand this theory and like I said, I wish I had the scientific name where you can go through it all, you know, because you got decent white men who's copied this study from black folks and made it their own, so it's official, and you have to start factoring things like slavery as a whole. So in that, when you factor, it makes more sense when you sit around and go, the shit that we say. How come they were in the caves 3 minutes ago, and all of a sudden they run in the world? What does that mean? That is only by our design.
Mm-hmm.
They, based upon our very own words of their lack of sophistication, it is impossible for them to just eat, you know, just they was just eating dogs, and all of a sudden they're world conquerors. It doesn't make any sense unless it's a fate or destiny or stage play that we're doing, a role that we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So to love your fate is not necessarily to fall in love with being a slave, but to understand and embrace the process. Now, this is said in different ways. If you went to Harvard, you would be falling out saying, "And you know, oh, my goodness, I'm in Harvard. It's the worst of the worst. Let's pretend. It's the hardest school in the world, and you got to be a genius to get in, and you work twice as hard as Spelman or whatever the fuck. And but then when you graduate, it's like you forget about the hard work, and then you see the reward of it. So it's the same kind of thing. We're working towards the graduation from humanity. And what I find is us complaining about our fate more than actually embracing it and working that shit. You get what I'm saying? Working it to the and you kind of got to get it in a certain way. And really, it's said metaphysically when you say, are you able to laugh at yourself? Because when you're able to laugh at yourself or don't take yourself so seriously, you understand there's an underground love that you're embracing even in your ignorance.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, when you take yourself serious like that, you fell for the hype. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You fell for the hype. So when I see this commercial, 12 years as a slave, and then there was that one scene, that dark-skinned lady, I was picking the cotton all day. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like on one level, you understand you're not oblivious to the fact that this is hardcore oppression.
Right.
But on a metaphysical and occult level, you have to enjoy the process as well, and that's kind of hard. You get what I'm saying? But we do it on how we enjoy the ignorance sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if you listen to comedians, they're actually talking about a deep level of ignorance, but we're laughing at ourselves. It's just the ignorance that we accept. You know what I'm saying? Shit between a man and a woman. See, but by the time they get into that slavery and all that other shit, you know what I'm saying, that's where the buck stops. And it's not that, I'm not necessarily saying joke about it, but somewhere in your heart you have to change your perspective on it because that's all you really got.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all you really got is the ability to change your perspective. You are not changing your fate. You're not changing black people's destiny. We are clearly doing something that we determined. See, if you have faith in yourself, I'm a god, I'm a goddess, then why don't you have faith that something we're doing to go through this Holocaust must have a genius level to it? If you accept yourself as a melanated genius, the beginning and the mother and father, beginning of end of all things, then why can't you accept that slavery, this hard label, this ghetto, and all the shit that we're complaining about constantly is a part of a bigger plan that we have put in motion that as a human we may not understand. But all of this faith in what it is you have as a power, there must be something greater underneath, behind the veil, that is working. And if you have faith in yourself as a god, as all of these things that you say you are, then you should understand clearly what we're doing here is actually a bigger, is bigger than the complaints that you have that you've been constantly harping on. Mm-hmm. So if you understand the difference between what you perceive is what you can control and what your fate is, deja vu is nothing more than confirmation of your fate. Because deja vu is like, I did it before, or I've been here before. It's because all of that tells you is you're just on, you're on your mark as an actor. You're at stage left. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. And there are certain things that are key. There are certain things that are key in your life that you know. When it's happened or it's about to happen, you know it will change your life forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are things in my memory, for instance, with Khadijah. When I was young, I was a thumb-sucking motherfucker. I could get awards for thumb-sucking. You know what I'm saying? I was that nigga. But I had this little fetish. I used to always grab my sister's hands because she had these rough kind of hands and you know, rub her hands while I used to suck my thumb. To an obscene level. You get what I'm saying? So I said, could you give my motherfucking hand back? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that was my shit. Come here for a second. You know what I'm saying? And I've never in my life felt hands that was that comfortable until I met Khadijah. I said, oh, shit, I get it now. And so I said, what the fuck? And she, in Khadijah's hands, she's a massage therapist. And she was like, my shit is kind of rough. I'm like, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I get it. So in the template, I'm sitting there going, there's something in my memory, in my DNA, that remembered Khadijah to that level. Now, it gets deeper now. With Khadijah, when I was young, I used to go to sleep, and this woman used to get in my bed. And I used to be able to give details on this woman. And I used to tell my mother, there's this lady that gets in my bed and sleeps with me. She's like, that's just called a wet dream. I was like, there's fucking nothing wet. You know what I'm saying? And I used to tell her, I used to describe her to a T. Her eyes look like this. Her lips look like this. So all my entire life, I remember this lady. As soon as I seen Khadijah, that was the lady. I said, oh, that's the motherfucker that I used to get in my bed. So I already knew. I was like, I think I'm going to move to Atlanta and can't drive. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be some powerful shit. So, okay, we could say all the labels soulmates and twin flames. That's obvious. Let's get that out the way. But what I'm trying to say is in my genetic memory, there's such a connection between me and Khadijah, such a destiny of being together. That's what fate is. So it makes me understand, like, no matter what I did, no matter where I went, I would be with that woman. No matter what I did, no matter what happens. You get what I'm saying? So now if we were just looking at my perception, I tried this girl and that girl and that girl wasn't this. And I could say, and I tried with that girl and I was with that girl for 5 years. It sounds like I'm going through a relationship. So I found the one. That's how we perceive it. But if we understand, like I understand metaphysically in the cult, it was just waiting to happen. It was just a matter of time before we was reunited. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A matter of time. And like I said, it explained a lot. Like, for years, I'm like, why the fuck do I like her hands? I can't stand my sister. To this day, I can't stand her. Not her hands, though. Them shits is fucking pristine. And I could never figure this shit out. I was like, where does that come from? Like it, you know, it's some shit that's like, where the fuck does that come from? And like I said, as soon as I felt Khadijah's hands, it all made sense. Mm-hmm. So there are things that you cannot divorce yourself from. You get what I'm saying? It looks as if I had a lot of girlfriends or went through some girlfriends or it didn't work out, so that's why we're with that. And I just happened to meet her and all of that kind of shit. Nah, it was going to happen. There are certain key things in your life that's going to happen because without her, I wouldn't be able to make it to Atlanta. And then there's a whole new destiny in Atlanta. You get what I'm saying? So So, in other words, my fate is going to get me in Atlanta. It's just a matter of how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So you may get there kicking and screaming, or you may get here in a golden chariot, but you're going to get to certain key locations in your life. And
yeah.
that's based upon fate, so in embracing your fate. So I think it's just something for us to think about when we're complaining about shit that, first of all, we have no control of. I cannot begin to tell you how much shit. I always end the conversation when niggas try to get deep on me. Yeah, we need to do this. Then I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And then no one's never even thought about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're spraying chemtrails. Well, what the fuck are you going to do about it? We just know now. Yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get it. Because this is about knowing. But like I said, knowing and complaining are two different things. You get what I'm saying? Knowing, decoding, and complaining. Yeah, I'm all for spreading the tricks and pulling the veil back. But, you know, if every day I'm sitting around going, hey, niggas in those vaccinations, like, I'm not getting, yeah, we know they're giving us vaccinations.
Know that, right.
I'm not getting anyway. So you need to embrace that they're doing it. But see, and I've said this, and people never thought about it either way. If they got 10 things that they're doing that we complain about, and then you're always coming with number 11, the mere fact that they have number 11 means 10 things didn't work. That means the shit is not working. You deal with shit that works. You know what I'm saying? They deal with shit that works. So if they have something that works, it'll be one fucking thing they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
One thing. The most effective one thing they're doing is Jesus Christ. And that shit is wearing off. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
And that shit is wearing off. So all of that to say, you know, we need to embrace the fate. You know what I mean? Understand and have faith in the fact that there is a higher power working, and we are that higher power that put it in the work. We made this agreement to do this work. Now, there's a lot of theories on why we did it as well. You know what I mean? It's a study thing. Once we do it, we never have to do it again. You know, the whole object is to probe and do every single thing in the universe. And there's even stories that this is one of the most wretched realities to deal with. And actually, we're doing it because we are actually the older ones who have the ability to actually go through it and come out of it. So, I mean, there's a lot that even goes on with that concept of why we're doing it. But we need to understand before we even get down to the whys that it's us that made this choice. You know what I mean? Otherwise, I mean, did you ever really think of the alternative? That because if we didn't make this choice and everything starts spiritually, that means there's white spirits somewhere in the universe that has the power to oppress you. We know that these motherfuckers were created in a cave under our DNA. I mean, Elijah Muhammad has thoroughly taught that, and they co-signed with it with the Island of Dr. Moreau. There's a movie called The Island that's encoded. You can watch right now. That's new. Frankenstein is the story of their creation. And so they have nothing in the universe that can oppress you to the point of where you're this slave and they still need to kill you so they can fucking have a good death. We need to read between the lines, see exactly where they are, and stop empowering them with our mind, embrace our fate, and understand from our perspective what the fuck. We need to deal with this from our perspective. We're dealing too much from their perspective. So it's something to ponder. I wish I would have had the scientific name. I'll see if I can come up with it. I'm just so damn busy. So I guess we'll get to the Q&A. And first, let me get all the infomercial out the way. I'm going to start making calls this week, or the end of this week, to set up class appointments. So now is the time to get in for the next class cycle. If you don't know about this by now, which you should, I offer basic magic classes. It's a 4-week course. very reasonable price. I've been doing it for a while now. This is the 10th cycle coming up. Like I said, you don't have to take my word for it. What you can do is email some people who took the class and see how it has changed their lives, empowered them, gave them a whole new outlook on how to change their perspective and control their environment as best they could. Like I said, you know, we're going to start soon, so now's the time to get in. As always, I have my herb packs. If you haven't heard about the herb packs, I don't know what planet you've been on, but these are all natural herbs that open up the pineal. It's medicine for your third eye. So those of you having problems sleeping, meditating, focus in your meditation, and there's at least 10 other things that people have said, 10 to 20 other things people have said smoking the herb pack has done for them. In terms of their spirituality, this is something is very still very cheap after all this time, something you need to get your hands on. And if you're scared to smoke it, you have the option of using it as a tea. There's different types of herb packs. There's things for love, for vision, for dreaming, for hexing, so on and so forth. What you need to do is email me at panicpack@hotmail.com to get a list of all the stuff I sell. There's also meditation CDs, spiritual baths, all sorts of knickknacks and things that I've sold over the years that has come through as breakthroughs through lectures. So you need to get a list if you haven't got a list, or get another herb pack if you already, because I know you're getting low. So, I also talk about a good friend of mine, Jerry Miller. Jerry Miller, what he works with is Orgon. And Orgon is a very powerful substance that you need in your house. It does everything. You put it in front of your microwave, in your tub, just around your person to it helps with negative ions, which is basically all the computers and microwaves and TVs and all that stuff that's frying you are positive ions. So negative ions are what we build you. Negative ions are found in nature. So that feeling you get when you're on a picnic or on a mountain or at the beach or in the forest, that feeling of nature and calm are actually negative ions at work. So one of the things that help promote negative ions in the house is Orgon energy. And like I said, he crafts it to a master level. Pyramids, any sorts of charms. And I believe if you have a certain charm, he'll be able to take care of it, add the Orgon to it, and there's this hard substance that makes the shape. You know, he's able to put a thing in the thing to make the thing for you. I think he does that for special orders. But, I mean, the sky's the limit. Talk to him. You can contact Jerry Miller on Facebook. And if you don't have Facebook or can't get him on Facebook, just shoot me an email, and I'll forward you his info. Shoot me an email at panicpack@hotmail.com. And, of course, there's dralimelbay.com where you can get a shitload of things. One of the best things, I believe, you can get a whole bunch of stuff on Aleem site. But one of the best things I like is because what people always ask me for are chakra stones. And in a good stone package of crystals for the chakras. So I know he has that plus candles and a whole bunch of other shit. So you need to go check his site, you know what I'm saying? Because remember, all of this stuff keeps us afloat. And I want to shout out Bobby and Linda, Brother Bobby, and Sister Kali, Sister Sandra, for setting up his healing fund. If you don't know where that is, email me and I'll send you all the info you need for that. If you missed Bobby's update, I'll send you the link, which is on my YouTube Occult Lectures on YouTube, where you can hear from Bobby himself. So he'll give you an update of what's going on And that's already up to like 11,000 hits of people who already listened to what Bobby got to say. So much love to Bobby, and he, you know, he still needs your help. And, you know, you guys have been coming through like champs for him. So I'm real happy to see that. Like I said, now that the infomercial is over, we'll get to the Q&A, and let's get busy. Remember, panicpack@hotmail.com. I guess we'll get to the Q&A.
Yes, we have area code 601. 601, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yo, yo.
Peace, brother.
What's going on with it after? How y'all doing, man?
All right, bro. All right.
But you know what I'm saying? I've just been sitting back there listening to, you know, Panic Man. He's dropping the real signs. I already know what you was coming from, talking about, man, this, you know, you just was dropping that that narcissism and stuff like that. But, you know, I just was literally calling in just to, you know what I'm saying, just to, what I had been feeling in, you know what I'm saying, in my spirit is, you know what I'm saying, I feel like these motherfuckers have been really basically dropping a ritual on our ass, you know what I'm saying, all this year from, you know what I'm saying, from the Star Trek coming into the darkness, from the Superman to the movie Thor. All that right there, even though, you know what I'm saying, you know, anybody that's country, you already know you need to be rooting for the bad guy anywhere it go, you know what I'm saying, because they're basically trying to set you down, they're coming down the tube for us, and I, you know what I'm saying, I just wanted to put out there to the community and to the people out there, you know what I'm saying, I think they about to try to drop the bomb on us with this one right here, that's 47 ruling with, you know, they done brought their Jesus back out, Keanu Reeves, the guy that was up in the Matrix and all that right there. I just wanted to see, you know what I'm saying, could this subconsciously be messing with what we got coming down the tube for us, you know what I'm saying, because basically, you know what I'm saying, what I feel in my spirit is most that this shit done went totally mental, you know what I'm saying, and not physical and stuff like that. And I think that they're trying to tap to, you know, because we all, just one mind, ain't, you know, ain't no difference between me and you, but just our mind playing tricks on us. I'm you, me, and all that right there. Are they, you know, trying to trick the subconscious mind to make this think that this change that's coming down the tube for us to make us think that it's bad by tapping into the hive mind and tricking us because, you know, all the meteorites that's falling from out the sky. And there's nothing that's going on at above that ain't really going on inside of us. And what I'm looking at is a graduation, you know what I'm saying? Because like you just said, though, you know, it's just like a prison planet, you know what I'm saying? Everything is everything.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing new done up under the sun. And I'm telling my brother, you know, we're meeting on the net, so I'm like, it's time to get the fuck up under the sun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, me also knowing that death ain't really death. Death is nothing but a transformation or graduation of going into something else and stuff like that. And I basically, what I feel in my spirit is that this planet here, the planet is going from something from a physical to a totally a spiritual entity, and where, you know what I'm saying, this planet ain't going to even be the same anymore. But what I'm feeling is in my spirit that I need to be doing my thing, you know what I'm saying? Because what I'm looking at is I need to be doing my thing to help this thing come on and happen. Because I'm not scared of, you know what I'm saying, what they trying to stop. Because just like the elves, and I don't know if y'all chicks are moving Thor out or whatnot, you know what I'm saying, they were talking to somebody, they just really came on, really talking about the dark matter and the dark elves and stuff like that. We already know, you know what I'm saying, the El, that's an ancient word for the God, which really El, you know, but Elohim and stuff like that right there, how this universe and stuff was made from a stolen seed that Yadavop had stole and came down and made this whole holographic universe. And, you know what I'm saying, and for me, I'm just like, man, shit, I think that they're really going to war with us subconsciously. And, you know what I'm saying,
man,
I think
you plan on breathing anytime soon? let me tell you, you're right on point. And I'm glad you bring it up. One of the best movies this year was that Thor shit. And I thought it was gonna be a phenomenal flop. They had to drag me to that shit because the first one I thought was extremely corny. You know what I mean? But they went hard on melanin. Like, they went hard on the ancient melanin, you know what I'm saying? And actually, I'm going to watch it again, and maybe I'll talk about it, you know, where I could see where I remember it or whatever, where I could go through some details. But they was dropping in on that thought. And in that whole year, they were doing a lot of darkness movies, Into the Darkness. And I talked about the time. It was right after right after 2000, when nothing happened, they had all of these movies about darkness lined up. You know what I'm saying? And they had a couple of movies, I can't remember, I talked about it at the time, where black people were in it, and it was a new birth for us. So they weren't really doing nothing as much as they were giving commentary on their perspective. From their perspective, there was a dark world coming. And, like, Snoop Dogg had that, remember that documentary? That's one I do remember, that Jamaican documentary. It was like Rejuvenated or Renew or Reborn or some shit like that. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly what it was. Let me see. IMDb.com. And it was like, and whatever it was at the time, I talked about it. And I talked about it, and all the black people had movies, all the black people had movies about new birth, because it was a new birth for us. Spiritually, they kept it where it was, and for them, all this shit was turning dark, you know what I'm saying, from their perspective, right. You get what I'm saying? They're fighting us, which is the dark world. For us, it was the new light that was coming in. Hold on, I'm going to tell you in a second what it was. For us, it was the new light coming in. He got so much shit. Producer, actor, writer, composer, director, self. It was the new, our new shit was coming in. So it was, we had a lot of shit that was like reborn and rebirth. So we were doing good. Them on the other hand, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but you know what I'm trying to say is, you know what I'm saying, I know, you know what I'm saying, like I said, I know that what they're moving on is just not happening, because they're making it seem like, you know what I'm saying, this right here, what's coming in, is, you know what I'm saying, is bad, but you know what I'm saying, in order to get to the true realm of light, we got to make it through that void.
They've always been doing that. I mean, what are they going to say is good, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, good, let the niggas come. I mean, you know, we've been talking about that for years.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that they really have is mind control. So one of the greatest tools of mind control have always been the movies.
Right.
And in fact, I can't find that. I don't know where it's at. But it's his latest Rasta movie. When he became a Rasta, it was somebody probably going to write it in the chat room. Rebirth or Reborn or whatever the fuck it was called. Anyway, a while ago, like I said, this is something that I've talked about years ago. There was a channel I got that the only thing that basically was working were movies. That is the most, after all the chemtrails,
right,
vaccinations and all of that, the only thing that was actually doing justice was movies. And if they turn that shit off, well, really, because, you know, there was the whole thing, they're going to send an EMF wave and shut all the lights off. I'm like, you think they're going to shut all the lights and keep a bunch of niggas in darkness? That's the worst thing.
Yeah,
you know, they're trying to keep a light on. And
right.
So,
yes, sir.
So,
that's another thing I had been feeling in my spirit, too. I was checking out Dr. Alan Bean thing about the sun slipping and stuff like that, and it just struck me real heavy in my spirit how you kept on saying they worry about their satellites and stuff like that right there. You know what I'm saying? The spirit told me that we don't know how in depth that this lockdown technology is. I'm like, even us that's in the conscious community, we don't, you know what I'm saying, we don't even know how in-depth it is affecting us, even though that we're...
Man, that shit ain't working. If that shit was working, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. Niggas failed.
They should go offline, then, you know what I'm saying? I just think, you know what I'm saying, they should go offline, bro. God damn it, they hold a little green.
Well, look, just always remember this. Melanin is chaos in the blood. Melanin is always changing. So whatever they got you on, the melanin adapts, and that's what they can't figure out. And they said that in what movie was it? No, they said it in True Blood. In the last True Blood, he was trying to get the fairy blood, and each time we take out the fairy blood, he said the shit becomes dormant when we take it out the body. So they've been trying to get melanin out the body to figure out the science since it began. That's what all of these movies are fucking about. A dark substance has returned. Darkness. They've been trying to figure out melanin forever. It'll never happen because it's a substance from an older, more ancient world. And when it's in the properties, they have no scientific way of isolating it down here once it's outside the body. So that's why they need you to do the work for them, and you have. That's why you're making rap music for them, fucking country blues and all those doorknobs and fucking street signs for them and all sorts of shit, because they need you to function. So all you have is a bunch of mind control over masses, which is failing because there are more people who are becoming conscious. What we need not to do is worry about the whole masses of people. Deal with the consciousness. You get what I'm saying? Because, and Bobby Hemmett pointed this out, what white people understand is, see, white people don't spend a whole bunch of time trying to make everybody white succeed. They understand that it only takes 1% of them to rule this world. Mm-hmm. So the conscious need to worry about the motherfucking conscious.
The conscious, right.
The dead people will do what people who run the world say. So you shouldn't waste no time worrying about if satellites got them on lockdown. It's supposed to. That's their fate. That's their destiny. That's their role down here. Your role is not to be fucking involved in that bullshit. That's the perception. That's the part that you choosing to indulge in. You need to indulge in your consciousness. Of course they're going to try to do that in movies. What the fuck would you do if you were them?
It seems like they running scared because they done dropped so many of these. It seems like they done dropped so many of these movies, and they ain't even goddamn trying to hide.
They ain't dropping shit. They just copying your story.
You gotta
put in perspective what the fuck they doing. They're not dropping nothing. They're just telling your story over and over again. You just need to be able. They're telling it from their perspective. What you need to do is be able to see your perspective, which supersedes their bullshit fear.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like I was just checking about the Superman and stuff like that, how they had put the fifth person in the cryostasis and they pumped them off to the prison planet. And then, you know what I'm saying, about the dude Kane up in Star Trek, about, you know what I'm saying, he was trying to wake up his people, you know what I'm saying, and they was in cryostasis and stuff like that, and he was trying to wake up his people. But you know what I'm saying?
He was trying to wake up the pineal gland. The pineal has 72 chakras on it. Or the 72 helpers of Set. He had how many capsules in his crew?
72.
Right. He was representing the pineal gland. It's your fucking story. You get what I'm saying? It's not him dropping shit. It's them copying your fucking story, your numbers, over and over again. You get what I'm saying?
But it just made, what I'm trying
just
to
be like, just be like Avenger X. Root for the bad guy.
Okay.
Root for the bad guy. That's what it is. The masses of people are going to vote for Kirk, are going to be cheerleading for Captain Kirk. You already know what time it is. What the fuck do you care what they're doing? You get what I'm saying? I enjoyed that movie because, shit, I like Star Trek. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work for me. Their mind control doesn't work. I'm not worried about what they're doing. You get what I'm saying? I understand and can decode what they're doing. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a difference. Worrying about it is different from decoding it or understanding it. You get what I'm saying? So I understand it, you know what I'm saying? I see where they're coming from. But you got to look at the law of polarity, which is one of the laws of Tahuti, and it's basically, in a nutshell, the ability to look at both sides of the coin, which puts you, which is how you change your polarity when you see things at the middle. So instead of picking a side, well, I'm a black chess player or a white chess player, and this is my side because I'm black, because, yeah, that's one perspective, but you got to be able to see it from both angles. And then you become the observer as opposed to the goddamn puppet or the pawn. You get what I'm saying? Right. That's what they're talking about. So I'm able to sit there and observe these movies and tell you what they're doing, but I'm not having this emotional outburst about, look what they're trying to do, and look what they think I did. Fuck, they ain't doing shit. You know what I'm saying? They're telling you, they don't even have a story to tell, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
They don't even have a, there's nothing for them to drop. All they're doing is regurgitating your shit over and over again.
Like the lady in
that sounds like a failure to me. That sounds like a failure to me. Even the fucking boxers will tell you, when you go into the ring, you ain't worried about what that nigga's going to do. It's about what you're going to do to that nigga. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing nothing, telling you our story, and we sitting around here complaining about that because it's not working.
Well, with this thing and me, we're just dropping them movies.
Come on now. When niggas went to the movies and seen Magneto and was cheerleading, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't even that conscious, and he was on his side. They on a thin line, you know what I'm saying? They on a thin line.
Right, but that's telling me, like I say, that's telling me that I need to be goddamn linking up with the energy that's coming in, doing what I need to do, doing my black magic, and bringing this shit on in. That's what I feel in my heart.
Man, that shit. That's what you should feel that in that ass. Feel that in your ass, too. You know what I'm saying? Because ain't no other choice. Ain't no other goddamn choice. Ain't no other choice. What you here for? You know what I'm saying?
I feel like I don't got nowhere to go. I'm like, all right, that's what you're scared of, goddamn shit. That's what I'm waking up with. But I like the what you said, looking at both sides of the coin. It's just like the lady in the Matrix said. She was like, we're all here to do what we're all here to do. You know what I'm saying? They got a job to do, just like I got a job to do. You know what I'm saying? But I see you. You don't got to be inside the box going crazy and going mad. You can just be like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? You just looking at it from both sides, you know? Because I went through all the racism and things. I hate white smoke these, man. But I just, you know, this shit, there is a waste of fucking energy.
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta put on your perspective glasses and do what you need to do to raise up your energy. The joyous thing is what is in you. Has nothing to do with them. Early on, this lady told me this shit. She was like, "One day you'll forget about white people." I'm like, "Fuck them," and I don't care about them. And whitey this and whitey that. Now I totally get what she was talking about. I don't need nothing but they do to offset what it is that I am. And before it was like, well, I'm good because they're bad. I'm good because they did this. They eat their dogs and we have our dogs sit outside. You know what I'm saying? That was the whole thing. And she was like, well, you ain't gonna need that shit. You study enough. I'm like, I don't need it now. But I didn't need it then. I was wrapped up in that bullshit of yeah, he's this and that, he's the beast and he's in the cage. Yeah, okay, that's true, but that don't, if that's what you're using to make yourself special, it's kind of, you know, light in the ass compared to, you know what I'm saying, you've been here for millions of years. He just got here. To even compare yourself to that is dishonorable. Like to call a white man the devil is almost such a compliment for him, because you know he just got here. Like to even put him in that role is like, nigga, you know what I'm saying? You putting an extra in the role of a lifetime of Denzel. You know what I'm saying? This nigga playing Malcolm X, but he was an extra the other day. Nah, he's got a long way to go. You get what I'm saying? A long way to go for you to even compare yourself to that. if you really know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm all for calling a clown a clown, but you know what I mean? You know, more or less, it's about tell me something magical about you. I don't want to hear nothing about them, you know, all the goddamn time. Tell me something about you, what you got going on.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? What did you break through with?
Right. Thank you, brother, for calling in. We're going to go to the next caller, 919-919, live on the air.
Hello?
Peace.
Yes, peace.
Yes, sir.
Going on? I didn't know I pressed one. How's it going?
Hey,
it's
right, man.
Doing well,
I was just enjoying the show.
Good.
I don't really have a question yet. Oh, but the movie was Reincarnated, the one you were talking about with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, Reincarnated. Yeah, somebody put up thanks for that. Reincarnated. It was like at the time when I was talking about it, it was like two more movies like that. It was like Reincarnated. I can't remember what it is. But around that era,
I was saying there was another one called Cloud Atlas.
Also, Spider-Man. Do you have melanin on the
feet? Yeah, Spider-Man was the melanin one. Cloud Atlas 9 was real, real kooky. Like, the same people who did Matrix did it. And I'm glad you brought that up. It was about fate and past lives and purpose. I'm glad you brought that up. It goes right along with what we were talking about. It was just I just think they did a terrible job of it.
They did.
Then when I watched the DVD extras, you see, because remember, two things. The Wachowski brothers did it, and one of them had a sex change. And
yeah. So
that's what that's why you haven't heard from us, and they were getting sued. But they got this nigga in drag talking about the movie. I couldn't get past that shit. You know what I'm saying? They was giving me, he was beautiful today. I'm like, nigga, you just was a nigga. And you know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, thank you. But they were talking about some of the things that they were doing in the movies. And, you know, they were doing the little subconscious things. But they were so vague. Like, for instance, there was a warrior. Like, you know, because there was the same characters doing lives over and over and over again. The warriors or the Africans had an African dress on. Then later on, the guy in another scene had a robe with the same print that was so vague. And they were saying, well, we did that to do this connection and that and this connection and that connection. I'm saying that these connections were so fucking vague, unlike The Matrix, that I'm like, this was a terrible fucking movie. And ultimately, what they were saying was that you are actually, which to me would be so fucked up, would be like your choices create your future. So let's say me and Aleem never met on any world and any planet. We meet, we do these shows, and based upon our relationship now, we are now interconnected through life. So life keeps going on. And based upon our unfinished business or business that we enjoy, we have a new, perhaps on a different planet, but in a different scheme of things. Now, they showed with Tom Hanks' character, if you look through his characters, subtly, he was an evil man. Until his last life, he was that wise, good man. So they were showing people actually getting good, bad to good to wise. If you remember, he was tormenting, in one scene, tormenting the guy and poisoning him. Originally, that guy had a top hat on in the first scene. So in the last scene, that deity that looked like Baron Samedi with the top hat was torturing him with his spirit, meaning that he did something bad to this guy in another life. And in this life, that this guy was torturing him back, which is something Mitchell Gibson said he actually witnessed. And Mitchell Gibson said, as a psychiatrist, there was this white guy who came into his office who was tormented. And Mitchell Gibson, who could see spirits, said there was a spirit on him standing right next to him saying, telling him to kill himself and all of this shit.
Oh.
So Mitchell Gibson said he asked the spirit, why are you tormenting this guy? He said, in another life, he said, this guy was my slave owner and he raped my wife, my kids. And then Mitchell Gibson said, well, your wife and your kids are right there. He said, they moved on. He said, then the spirit walked off with him and the dude was cured. This is a story Mitchell Gibson tells. Now, basically, so you've seen this in this movie with Tom Hanks. So it was a terrible movie, and they made the point that like I said, your lives are intertwined, and you're weaving this web that keeps continuing. I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking terrible. You know what I'm saying? You're just doing shit over and over. No, you're just getting bad do-overs. Now, from a white perspective, it gives them hope of everlasting life that they're striving for. Now, we understand, we understand they have a different perspective on everlasting life that is not physical, you get what I'm saying? And that what they made it seem like is the shit that you do, even out of ignorance, you can pay for, which is something they relate to karma. So I could do some ignorant shit to Aleem and have to deal with a whole fucking lifetime again just to balance out that ignorance.
Okay.
What a fucking, that is hell. You know what I'm saying? That is absolute hell. Because as much cookies and shit that I stole, you know how many times I snuck some high C out the fridge? You know what I'm saying? You ain't never leaving this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Just off of snack stealing. You know what I'm saying? Just off of snack stealing. As much as, who the fuck ate all the cookies? You know what I'm saying? Wasn't me. I don't even like oatmeal. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, you to the laws of my art, nigga. You gonna get beat by Abby.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
You know what I'm saying? Due to the laws of my art. And it's like, oh, man, I ain't never leaving this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? This nigga robbed a gumball machine. He ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Ain't going to motherfucking place, nigga. Oh, man. Remember when you lost the remote? Yeah, you got to do another lifetime, nigga. Oh, man. What the fuck, nigga? Then when you went to that chick's house, wiped your ass on her shower curtain? Yep. You got another life, nigga. You got a whole nother lifetime coming, nigga. Oh, shit. You got to be a bus driver. Oh, man. Like, fucking, you ain't never getting out of this shit. I'm like, I'm glad. That's an unhopeful message. Kyle Alice 9 was a fucking downer, man. That was a fucking downer. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at that shit going, oh, my God. This shit is happening for real. This is a fucking downer. You know what I'm saying? And fucking DJ Full Moon, this nigga got a tape of him electrocuting himself, yo. What did you do that for? I just had to bring that up. What, like, you need to answer. I hope your phone is on, because, like, this nigga King Cook sent me his, I'm like, who the fuck is electrocuting himself like that? He said, yeah, that's DJ Full Moon. This nigga just said, it just fell out. What the fuck you do that for? like, what the fuck did you do that for, yo? You know what I'm saying? By the laws of my eye, you got to do it for a lifetime. By the laws of my eye, you ain't getting out. You know what I'm saying? Your heart is heavy with that shit. You know what I'm saying? I said, you got to see this nigga just electrocuted himself. I'm like, where were you going with this? Like, that's your high blood pressure? You did that for high blood pressure? Oh, nigga, yo, you need to get on the phone, nigga. You need to get on the phone. You shouldn't have did that shit at all, yo. Who's your doctor? Hey,
man.
Who's your doctor? Kevorkian? Yo, just electrocute yourself. This shit'll go down. This nigga just sat in a chair and just said, just fell out. I said, I said, you know, you thought it was just a regular intro. I said, no, that's DJ Full Moon. I said, what? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he wants some shit, man. By the laws of my yacht, though, he ain't making it on that one. By the laws of my yacht. I guess he's got his next caller, I guess. By the laws of my yacht. Yeah, cool. I guess we go to the next caller, I guess.
We're going to caller 25425. You on the line.
Yeah, hello.
Peace.
Yeah, peace. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, sometimes you just got to be reminded, man, of, I guess you call it the path, you know, because I know for one thing I probably got sidetracked for a little bit, you know, not necessarily worrying about white folks because you already know the deal, but just realizing that, you know, this is just a dream. You know, we already know the real deal. You know, we created everything, and they basically stealing everything from us. One of the questions I had was about this new movie. They come out with The Hobbit, right? Where in the new one, they go on to slay this dragon. And they say when you slay the dragon, you get your homeland back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but see that dragon and just have an idea of the Kundalini energy. That's just, it was just, you know, that just came up in my head, you know. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, well, the dragon is either Kundalini, but more to the Great Mother. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I mean, you know, without seeing the movie, I mean, the obstacle in mythology of the dragon is always just basically that obstacle. It is the mastery of the Kundalini. When you see the dragon in the cave, it represents the sleeping dragon represents the don't wake the sleeping dragon, or the dragon with the pearl in his mouth representing the pineal. So it does represent the Kundalini, but it represents it in the feminine force. The waking fire-breathing dragon is the awakened Kundalini. This dragon is protecting gold, which is nothing more than alchemy or the pineal or at the end of the rainbow or the end of the chakras, you get the gold. So it's always going to be a Kundalini story. But it depends on how the things they say. It may be also a part of dealing with the divine feminine, slaying the divine feminine. Remember, the first was to shut down the evil eye, which was to shut down the pineal gland. That was the first three, the all-seeing eye. So yeah, I'm sure you're
right.
The
Rings trilogy, yeah.
Right, the first trilogy. I'm sure you're right. You know what I'm saying? It was like these elves or these dwarves mined the land that just represents, I guess you could say, melanin too. And, you know, this dragon took over, and there was a jewel even there, a special jewel there that in the first one, the Hobbit one, there was a jewel there that this dragon took, if I remember. Because these fucking things are long-sucking, arduous, watching these bullshit-ass movies. You know what I'm saying? I try, but, you know what I'm saying? Will you not?
Yeah, it gets me like that, too. I fall asleep, too. Like, man, this thing is major long. Yeah,
will you not serve me, Hobbit? Is your word not good as a Hobbit? Like, fuck a Hobbit. We shall make it to the Shire, Hobbit. There we shall feast. We shall feast, Hobbit.
That's my thing, though. So why don't we get – why is it that – you know, I remember back in the day, we used to have some movies that was, like, straight all-black movies. You know what I'm saying? It was an all-black cast, you know. But now it's like you really don't see it anymore. And it's like when you have this conversation with people, they say, oh, well, black people need to get their own production. It's like, well, we do have our own production, but it just seemed like we're not pushing out movies.
What happened was – a good documentary on that is one by Melvin Van Peebles, Mario Van Peebles' father, where he broke down the lineage of how these movies developed. Now, basically, where it came in was black people were forced to come up with their shafts and their – the first breakthrough one was Sweetback, and it was political, and it was embraced by conscious folks. It was embraced by the Black Panther Party, And so what they did was, like they always do, and this is one of the major sciences they did it with rap. They have to they take the idea and water it down. Same way they took rap music and just made it gangster music. They just turned it into a goddamn show. So they took Sweet back, and he became Shaft. So now instead of fighting for the man, he was a cool kick-ass when he smacked a few white people around, but he still was he was a detective, still was on the white people's side, then eventually became Superfly, which he was just a pimp. He was the same Sweetback character, but now he's just a pimp and a coke-sniffing dude. So and they went through all the movies in between that went this way, you know what I'm saying? Little subtle things. For instance, Pam Grier's whole career, she would, you know, kick a white mob, kick the white police officer, or shut down the white mob. Jackie Brown? She worked for the police and she shut down a black man. You know what I'm saying? So they turned the whole energy around. Now even before then, so what they said the next step was. They started to notice that black cinema was making a lot of money, action movies, and it kind of peaked out. Everybody was Mr. Badass, King T, and Trouble Man, and all of this shit. They kind of plateaued out. Then what white people started to notice was if you put one black person in the white movie, you still get the black audience. So they started putting Jim Brown.
That's my point, right? With the Hobbit thing. It's like, yo, you don't see not one black person. But, you know, I think
I'm happy. I don't want to see no for
the other side.
I definitely want to see no Hobbit niggas. I am comfortable with that shit. But, you know, a Hobbit nigga going to fuck everything up. You know what I'm saying? Only nigga in there eating wings and shit.
Oh, man.
Eating wings and hot sauce,
one more quick point, because I know I won't take up too much time. I noticed you talked about how the Wachowski brothers had got sued. Is that in reference to Sophia Stewart?
Yeah, I mean, I always hear so many stories.
No doubt.
I do know for sure, this is what I do know for sure. The first person to do a story in the Ghetto Times was actually my boy, Tef. Tef actually is the first one to do her story, then the Ghetto Times kind of picked up on it. He was the first one to call her mother the Matrix and all of these things. Now, what he told me was when everyone was celebrating her victory, what she actually won was the right to take them to court at one point. Because, you know, you're going to have 1,000 people saying, that's my script. So they have to sift through certain things to make sure that you even have a claim. Now, the book she wrote was basically about machines taking over. So it also brought in the Terminator as well, because that's what the Terminator story is. So what I heard was she had the ability to sue. That was the big thing. And then I heard later on that she actually sued and was. Who knows? You know, that's
No, because look, I actually went a little deep with it. You know, she sent me the little court documents that she sued the lawyers because she felt they was in on it, and they granted her motion. This is like 2013 stuff, so she's still fighting, you know what I mean? So that's all good and dandy, but, you know, so that's a cool word to spread.
I mean, it is what it is, but I would say.
But I just wanted to know why you. I just wanted to know if that's what you were talking about because of the Wachowski brother.
Yeah,
you know, having that sex change, like that's hilarious.
Possibly, but this nigga got a full blown sex change, so that might have been
for real. It's not even cute.
Like a he wears a dress now. You know what I'm saying? I think
with the redhead though.
Yeah,
with the redhead and they got him up there on the news conference like he's the man.
Thanks for that, brother.
I don't want to take up too much time. You know, I just had those brief questions. But, yeah, man, thanks for reminding a brother to stay on top of his game and not worry about what they doing. Real talk.
Well, like I said, I mean, it's all, you know, I love to complain like the next man, but that's as far as it goes. We decode it, but we're not going to buy into that. You know what I'm saying? As something that's serious, you know what I'm saying? That's something that's serious. So I mean, and it's easy to it's a disgusting thing, so it's easy to fall into. Look at this white motherfucker. You ever see a dirty white kid at the goddamn Walmart? You know what I'm saying? You want to drown his ass. You want to drown his ass. I know how.
Hey, well, I just thought about this. Have you seen that movie Upside Down?
Yeah.
What did you think about that as far as a dimensional shift?
And
is that pretty accurate, or did you think it was like, nah?
Nah, I thought they just had an idea. You know what I'm saying? I was confused.
I think they jacked it all up. They jacked it up because they made it seem like, you know, the poor people, they stay on the bottom and the rich people up there. And I'm like, nah, y'all messed up the concept right there, you know?
Yeah, I seen it. I wasn't feeling it, though. But yeah, I just kept turning. I was like, all right, is he upside down or is he right side up? And why would gravity be moving? Trying to look for continuity. Like, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I actually
have it on DVD. Yeah, but I mean.
All right, but cool. Well, I'm going to check out that documentary from Melvin Van Peebles, too. I'm going to look that up.
Oh, yeah. You can find that online. Like I said, he went through it and what he found out was, yeah, that's what we were talking about. He found out if you put one black dude in a white movie, that it still sells. And that was the rise of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy with all them Beverly Hills Cops and all of that.
The toy.
And the toy, Stir Crazy and all of that, Richard Pryor, definitely. But Eddie Murphy was the pivoting point. And where it changed was when Spike Lee, Robert Townsend, and that was the reemerging of it. So they had all black cast and Hollywood Shuffle, Do the Right Thing. So you started having ensemble niggas again. To so much so that Eddie Murphy did Boomerang with the ensemble cast. And that was a big deal because Eddie Murphy was a, you know, single star. So it's there, but, you know, it's Hollywood. That's their shit.
So I can't complain about Scandal anymore.
you could. You know what I'm saying? I would. I complain about that.
I'm just saying, like, you know, they put the sister, she looked like a straight slave, like, you know what I'm saying, with the slave master. That's just, you know, the appearance I see, you know?
I'm sure. That's what it is. That's what they're doing. That's what it is. And, yeah, you should mention, like, don't get me wrong. There's two ways. Look at it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't unveil the bullshit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me be clear on that. You see some white people doing some dumb shit, report. You know what I'm saying? I think the emotional connection to it may need to be questioned. But if you see them doing some bullshit with Mandela, say it. You know what I'm saying? They need to be out because we're dealing with knowledge here. We're dealing with information here. We're dealing with bringing forth light. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like we ignoring shit. You know what I'm saying? I seen that little slavery ass shit. I complain about it every time that shit is on. I complain when Khadijah's watching that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I just called it out because I've watched two episodes in two seasons. I'll never watch that joint. But the episode I caught, you know, she hated the dude, and then she was like, okay, I'll see you again. And he goes to this house that he supposedly built for, and she let him smash, but they smashed on the floor. And so I was like, look at that. He didn't even have enough, he didn't care about enough to smash on
the
bed.
He didn't even
with the sheets, like,
that.
You know what I'm saying? People couldn't even see that.
I only seen that shit when I was fucking sleeping, you know what I'm saying? Why is this on?
I just called it out though. You know, I see some white folks doing some crazy stuff, but I called it out. You know what I'm saying? I was like, they out here got the chick looking like a straight slave. Like, wow. And black women is flocking to it. You know what I'm saying? So I just call it out, and you know, it goes as it goes. You know, I ain't tripping on it.
Busting that shit out like a motherfucker. You watching that shit?
Word up. All right, y'all gentlemen, have a good night, man. Thanks a lot.
I can't let it go on without another perspective.
Uh-huh. Jump in on the middle of a story and then be able to see the whole detail. But the reason why they smashed on the floor is because they was in a new house. Everything was covered up. If you notice, it was probably spiders and dust in the bed.
But that's the president, though. That's the president. How are you the president and you got webs on your stuff? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, no.
Well, the reason. The reason was is because she had no longer wanted to be with him. And the house was shut in. And I've been in a shut-in house. It's seriously spiders and dust. But you can't be rummaging
around.
But
that's the president,
house.
Though.
That's the president thing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. How the president going to bring, how you want to get this chick back, and you going to bring her to a house with spiders, though?
But he bought it for her. But also, to one of the addresses, you said she is a slave. But I wanted to also make this statement. Look at this picture. Mm-hmm. She's a slave with utmost respect. That woman got everybody.
So she that classy slave.
I ain't involved in that, do you? Listen, I tried this shit already, arguing with you. I tried this shit. You need to let that one scandal go, dog.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a scandal. Like, Khadijah watched that shit, too. She'll tell you all that.
But in real life, y'all, in real life, she with a brother. So that's what I love about the whole scenario.
But that's my whole thing. And Namdi crazy, because I wouldn't even fail for that. Like, no, you up here on TV creating this image, you know what I'm saying, where you with this white dude, you know what I'm saying, and he married. Like, I ain't having it. Mm-mm. You better quit.
Francis Cress Wilson was talking about her.
Yeah, well, she sure did.
Oh, the slave. And, but see, Khadijah watches that. She ain't no slave. Oh, you right. See, that's the shit you gotta do. You said, nah, she still got a little dignity with this and that. So it must be a little bit more complex than just out and out, you know what I'm saying?
And but, like, I mean, that's the whole basis of the story. That's the whole basis of the story, is that you got this black woman with the white president, and he's married. And the thing is, the woman that he's married to, she's cool with it, you know what I'm saying, to a certain point. She's cool with it. And then I even joke because the Kerry Washington's mom comes into the picture. I said she was the runaway slave that came back to the plantation. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they just painted that whole picture. It was like, wow, man, they're not playing with this whole slavery thing, 12 years a slave. Hey, yo, 12 years a slave. He's a free man, and he's kidnapped into slavery. How about that?
Yeah, she only watched two episodes. Her mom is not no runaway slave. She was like a terrorist or something.
But
her husband shut it down and locked her up. So she wasn't no runaway slave, God.
No, but I'm saying, to the goddess, I'm just saying all I needed from the universe was to see two episodes to get enough that I could really draw a conclusion, because everything else was being given to me by the women. Like, yeah, this is what the story's about, you know, seeing little snippets here and there, and I was cut. I watched two whole episodes, and that was all I needed. Like, I was like, I'm done. Like, I was expecting for it to be like 24. Like, yo, I want to watch this show because it's some action. Once I seen the slave imagery, oh, I was done. Straight up and down, I was done. I was like, yo, she's a slave. We got all these slave movies coming out, and the woman love it. I was like, come on, y'all got to see what I'm seeing. Nah, they ain't having it, bruh. They love it.
I was wondering, what are they people for multiple mates? You know, because like you stated, the wife, she's good with it because she realized that her husband loved this woman. So that's what I was wondering.
No, she's good with it because it's the position she in. That's the president. Like she said, if you go on TV and you tell everybody about y'all being together, I will air out all your dirty laundry. You know what I'm saying? She made a deal with him. And then once he said he wasn't going to do that, she was good. And he left her.
Said bed winches.
Yeah, that's what's going down. I promise you. That's all it is, man. And Kerry Washington played the slave. She played the slave mistress in Django. She played the same position in Django and go straight into a scandal.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about that. That's a bit of a stretch.
I know you got it, Fanny, but that's just what I saw.
No, she's the object of the whole movie of this nigga rescuing her. Forcing her into that, which was the reality. It wasn't like she was down. It wasn't like in Roots, a belly warmer. Remember they used to call them belly warmers in Roots? Like, you need a belly warmer for the night?
I don't think she's just
a belly warmer. I don't know. Like, look, I wouldn't get too carried away with it. Like, I ain't gonna lie. The sisters watch that shit, so I'm gonna listen to what she say. They know. She knows slavery. So if she said this woman ain't a slave, I believe that shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie. Because you can watch anything and make him a slave. You know what I'm saying? Let's be real. I could carve out like two episodes of damn near anything and be like, oh, okay, that's fucked up. Especially if you're looking for it. You know what I'm saying? And not to say that it's not. Because I might look at it and be like, oh, whatever, this bitch is a slave. But my first thing is like, this is the watches the shit. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, nah, it's a little bit more complex. And I'll do you one, but she's saying the same thing Khadija said to me. It's a little bit more complex. Like, she said, you can take it that way if you walk down that road. But especially if any relation, any time a white man in any context fucks a black woman, you're gonna go down that road. Your mind's especially.
Oh yeah, it's all bad.
It's gonna go down that road. But the reality is, it's just a common girl, or they're trying to make it a common girl with the president and the scandal that comes across with it. You know that's what they're going for. We gonna see the same thing because fucking insane motherfucker.
But check this out, brother. Whoever's on the phone, she can also tell you that the black senator tries to get with her, and she denies him. That's what really got me was when she the black senator proposed, and she's like, "Nah, homie, I'm good." You know what I'm saying?
Remember? And then also too, she was scared that her father was going to kill him. As a matter of fact, when her father found out that they were dating, he got into a horrible car accident. Now remember, his father kills people. So she left him to keep him safe and was single for a long time after that.
See, they watched that, dog. Like, he's like, you.
No, but I'm just saying, that don't do nothing but make the father Uncle Ruckus. The father's nobody but Uncle Ruckus now.
But that's a slavery thing. But that's not really a slavery thing, though. You know what I'm saying? Black women wanted to get with black men. So it wasn't like that wasn't the slavery thing. That's just a 1960 civil rights movement shit. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It don't matter. I mean, you can go on and on for that. But 12 years a slave. I'm glad you brought that up too as well. The that's based upon a true story, and it's based upon a book. Avery Brooks did a movie in the 80s on it. Now that's some slavery shit. No, some real slavery shit is that goddamn Butler. Now that's some shit to complain about.
Oh my God.
That's some shit to complain about. That black trash will never be played in my house. That black trash will never be played in my house. I swear to God, I will front choke the shit out of Forrest Whitaker for that bullshit.
And then you got people like, oh my God, it was real history. You got to teach your children to watch that.
Niggas think the color purple is real history. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
You can't even go by that. Niggas is like, the color purple is some true shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Niggas think
what I didn't like was how they made the black. They made the Black Panthers look bad in that movie. Like, you know, she was sitting at the table.
I can't even pontificate.
That's what they did, brother. I'm telling you. I went down that road.
First of all, if they made the Black Panthers look great, I don't give a fuck they made Forrest Whitaker the butler, the happy butler. I don't give a fuck if they show them murdering the whole Bunchy Carter murders. A whole bunch of white motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? This nigga's haircut, terrible shit. Some terrible, terrible shit. Nah, I mean, you can expect it, but like I said, I trust the woman. They'll watch that shit because the women that you talking to right now,
mm-hmm.
if she seen some slavery shit, you would know it. If she seen
yes,
some shit, you would know
it. I trust her.
I trust her word.
I trust her word. I do too.
I seen her reach in and point out fucked up shit that I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even notice that. You know what I'm saying? So
no,
I know she could see. You know what I'm saying? She ain't just picking and choosing. And like I said, DJ ain't no joke neither. She won't watch shit. And you know what I'm saying? Unless it's harmless. I try to get her to watch Love and Hip Hop. I'm the fucked up one. She ain't watching none of that shit. I'm like, yo, this nigga, they got this nigga fucking Peter Gunn, son. You got to watch this shit. But I ain't watching that fucking nonsense, motherfucker.
We're still watching. Yeah,
like, just come home, I'll be watching that shit. Yo, you watching that bullshit? I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. You know what I'm saying? This bitch got a tattoo because Miss Peter Gunn's tattoo Miss Pancakes on her back. This shit is funny as hell. When I say niggas is supremely ignorant, y'all talking about white people? Y'all need to watch these niggas. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas, watch Love and Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? Them bitches is that scandal. You know what I'm saying? You want to see some slave hoes? Watch that shit. You know what I'm saying? Them bitches is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And these won't even watch that shit, but she'll watch Scandal, like on demand and shit.
They'll defend Scandal too. If you break it up, they will come out the woodwork. See, if you ain't spoke to her 5 years,
I don't think
she's
that. I don't think she's that serious about it.
It's just funny.
I think she gives it more credit. She, and this is what I do notice, and she wouldn't do this unless it was true. And I know Aleem's Queen. I think I could say the same thing. But I definitely say for Khadijah, she wouldn't embellish that shit. Because Khadijah would be like, that bitch is a slave, but I love the show. So it ain't like she got nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? It's not like she needs it to be pristine for her to watch it. She'd be like, oh, that bitch is a goddamn fucking, you know what I'm saying?
She's sophisticated in the show. I think that's what they probably like. Like, you know, she's sophisticated. She's in charge of getting people elected. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just that
she
when those parts
come
out,
she don't give a fuck about it. That glamour ain't that glamour life ain't fucking with her. If I was to speculate why she would like the show is just it's the writing. You know what I'm saying? The way they write it. In the way, it's the story, you know what I'm saying? Because these are the story person. Little bit that I catch, I could see they're always, it's all my children. The mother's here, the father's here, the father's going to do that, the mother's going to do that. They speak with quick dialogue and all this kind of shit. This guy, you just never know what's going to happen next.
When it's the next episode, they be like, oh my God, I'm like, what are y'all so hyped about? But I guess I haven't,
It's a story. It's a story that caught the attention. You know it's written by a sister as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, it ain't that far gone. You know what I'm saying? It's just if you, whenever you see a black woman fucking a white man, because basically Wesley Snipes fucked a whole lot of hoes on the floor. Nobody ain't say shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Whiskey blended them hoes. See what Whiskey did? Nobody say shit about that. Whiskey fucked a whole bunch of hoes on the balcony, on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Nobody ain't say shit. White man get a little pussy on the floor. Niggas are losing their mind. Oh, that bitch is a slave. She fucked him on the floor. The white people fuck on the floor like every day. Did you see Fatal Attraction? Bitch had dirty dishes and everything. Nigga fuck on the dirty dishes and everything.
Oh, man. But that's cool. Thanks for clearing that up, y'all. I appreciate that. And, Cloud Atlas did suck, too. I agree with that, definitely.
Huh? Say again?
Cloud Atlas sucked. Cloud Atlas
sucked. It sucked big balls. Somebody keep calling.
I gave it a chance too.
Yeah, I watched it a couple of times. You know what I'm saying, but
yep,
it just didn't do it. It was like, what the fuck? that whole shit with that Chinese lady, like, what the fuck? What the fuck was that? You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Like, what the fuck was that? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I didn't.
Like, where'd she come from?
Yeah, like, why is she, like, it just did, like, and that's a good waste of Holly Berry. She ain't showing her titties, and it don't matter anymore. You already showed her and broke the mold.
Hey, brother, quick question. Bro. I swear I'm getting out of here. I'm going to listen to you offline. What's up with the negative image the black movies getting the Oscars, you know what I'm saying? But we can't get any, like, positive image black movies getting Oscars, you know?
I mean, do you really want an Oscar?
Not necessarily. You make a great point right there. There you go.
Is that what we're going for, the Oscars?
No, we're definitely not going for an Oscar.
But I understand what you're saying. Like, why are they celebrating our bullshit? Because that's their role. They have to. They're trying to promote us doing monkey shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're gonna
we put them
reward
there.
You for playing. Yeah, they're gonna reward you for playing Malcolm X.
No.
Not bloody likely. You know what I'm saying? Not bloody likely. You know what I'm saying? You beat a whole number three. You know, beat a whole number four. You know, guy. You know that's Oscar worthy. You know what I'm saying? It's hard out there for a pimp and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, right. So and with that ending, you know, we put them in that position. So, you know, we put them there so that we can learn to get beyond perfection. You know, over the years I've heard so many different stories, you know, Bobby Hemmings,
you mean
Dr.
White
Umar.
People in general?
Yeah, like we put them in that position.
Like why they running it? Yeah, I mean, absolutely, it's a part of what we're doing. But first and foremost, why come to Earth? You need to start there. Why would you need to come to Earth? Why would we need this earthly, this to happen? It's clear that it could only be one logical reason. That is to have the experience. And the experience, because we are clear that this is an illusion, can only amount to learning as opposed to something that's actually happened. If this is a dream, a merrily dream, that means we could only, it only could affect us like a dream would. Like when you have a dream and you come into a revelation when you wake up, like, wow, okay, I need to talk about this. In fact, talking about faith after I woke up came from a dream. You get what I'm saying? So I'm able to say, okay, that's what we need to speak about. Now you can say, of course, they just say it's spiritual, but ultimately it's from a different place in your mind that you're bringing forth this information. So on another scale, that's what's happening on planet Earth. If we had a sweet, comfy, cushiony life down here, that means we are not in a position to learn anything. You learn through the pressure. You learn through the hardship. It's what the hardship or the suffering is what builds the character. So we're here and under this illusion, we're trying to get the most out of it. So we have to put ourselves in the position furthest away from our true reality. Because if we're living our true reality down here, there's no reason to come down here. You get what I'm saying? Why come down here and live the reality that we already obtained and already mastered? Then it's a waste of time. You don't learn nothing. So we have to put ourselves under the illusion of ignorance, number one. And that's just humanity itself. So that puts us in the – if you're the know-it-all, the be-all, the end-all, the beginning, the end, the alpha and omega, God, goddess, what can you learn in this universe if you created it? So the only thing you can do as a scientist is actually pretend or put yourself in a place where – you divorce yourself from your knowing. That's the illusion of ignorance, which is you wash over your true intelligence with a human body. So now that you're in this position, the true path to alchemy, as they'll tell you, is not the destination, it's the path that matters. The true path or going through life or lifetimes is actually the work that we're doing to actually really learn something, to actually go to another level. And I always give the example in the movie Coming to America. You're already the prince. You already have some money washing your dick, brushing your teeth, wiping your ass. The royal penis is already clean. So why is he going to America and working at McDonald's, going to the church, haircut, and all of this shit? Because he has to, he's trying to find something new. He's already got the bitch, whatever you like, but he has to find something new. So ultimately, we've already mastered this. To find something new, we have to, we're putting ourselves in this position. So the white person is nothing more than the worst-case scenario black person. That's it. He represents a grafted version of our lower animal self, or humanity's lower animal self, I should say, or what humanity can be as a lower animal. He is that manifested, therefore allowed to run wild, allowed to take this over. So we're in a position of struggle, and that struggle is where we're actually the ones that's learning. We're the lucky ones, because when it's all said and done, we're the ones with the experience, and they're the ones in the fucking delusion. They just go back into non-existence. Simple as that. So that's one way to look at it. You get what I'm saying?
Yep, I got you. That's really clear.
That's one way to look.
Thank you,
sir.
And
I haven't seen anything contrary to that. I mean, I'm sure there are things that people would say, well, no, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. But for you to decipher, for you to come, because you're talking about your perspective. But I would say in my study, that's the kind of thing that I keep see coming, kind of adds up to best for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. It makes total sense. All right, thank you, sir. Y'all have a great night, gentlemen and ladies.
All right,
boy.
Peace.
All right, peace.
All right, let's go to area code 215. Area code 215, you're live on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay. This is Dolores calling from Philadelphia.
What's up, D?
Hey, I was calling, I guess, with another infomercial about Brother Panda's class. I took, maybe it was the second session, and I find myself just going back into the tape that he records the whole class. And
right,
I find myself going back over and over, just learning about chakras and the kundalini, the altars, the candle magic, you know, all of that, even to the Kabbalah, and learning all about that. And it's just a real beneficial class that you can use years from now. So say if you didn't get it within that setting, you can always go back a month from now, a year from now, and just learn more and more. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Brother.
I'm so glad I took the class.
And go ahead.
I'm just happy to hear it. Certain that you're satisfied and you're actually right on point, because that's how I designed it, whereas for years to come you can still benefit.
Yeah, definitely.
as your consciousness morphs, the information morphs with you. I make sure people get copies of the class. I record every class and I make sure you have copies, so if you missed it the first time, you're able to, you're able to go get the copies of the class. So that's good. I'm glad to help. I do remember you, Dolores.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, peace, brothers.
That's good.
Peace.
Right. I'm glad it's working for you. I'm glad it's working for you.
Mm.
And that's what I like. Dolores is so content, she doesn't even have a question. Thank you. Thank you, Panic Classes. Thank you. Thank you, Panic Classes. Thank you. Remember, you can email, we're about to start a new cycle. Email me panicpack@hotmail.com, PanicPack. So that's PanicPack@hotmail. And I'll give you all the information you need for the classes. The people who have paid for classes, I'm about to give you guys calls. If you haven't left your phone number, email me your phone number. And I'm about to call you so we can set up a schedule for the next cycle. But get at me now, people who are trying to rush to get into class, let's go. And like I said, I'm constantly doing them, so if you can't make it this cycle, there's always next cycle. But this is something that you definitely want to do. I mean, like I said, you get, there's time after time and people after people who have benefited from it. It's not just me saying it. The people who have taken the class will be happy to tell you themselves. PanicPack@hotmail.com. Just get at me, and I guess we'll go to the next caller.
All right, no doubt, because we people to come on the air who have taken Brother Panic's classes, and they all say the same thing. So definitely check those out. As well as also, we have our classes coming up on Qigong, Tai Chi, Reiki, Pranic Healing, and et cetera, coming up on January the 12th. And for those who are interested, get with us. Go to the website. It will be scheduled on a calendar, as well as also give us a call at 910-364-9099, and check us out also. So, Brother Penn, there's no one.
Excellent.
No more.
Excellent.
Calls right now, so if you want to build, you definitely can feel free. We can get back into some topics.
Okay.
Yeah, right, and also, if anyone have a question, please press 1 or either call in at 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535.
Right, if you're in the chat room, if you got a question, if you're in the chat room, go ahead. If you still, because I know we're losing callers after getting into the after hours, if you have a question in the chat room, go ahead. We'll do that too.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Got area code 501, Brother Panny, that's on the line. Getting ready to open them up. 0501.
Peace.
How y'all doing?
Fine.
Good. I also took Brother Panic's class, and yeah, it's great, you know.
Who's
sometimes you just see the process. Elnora.
Oh, okay. What's up? Okay.
What's up? How you doing?
Peace, brother.
I like this.
Yes.
What
please.
Up?
Yeah, and it's great, you know. Sometimes you just need the process. He breaks everything down so smoothly that anyone with a little knowledge can get it. You know,
right.
You gotta talk over your head so much that you don't know what's going on or what you're supposed to do. Makes it very practical. Oh, so that's my feedback on that. I do have a question, though.
First of all, let me say thank you. I'm glad it's working for you, and that's another thing I try to do is built for those who are advanced and those who are just starting out. So you don't have to be at a certain level. You can just come as you are, and it should help. And be able to get something out of it for each of us. I speak to people on their level. So I want to thank you, and I'm glad you took the class, too. And I'm glad to see you be working for me, sis.
Yes, I still have to email you for the other classes. I've studied class 1 and class 3, but 2 and 4, I haven't, you know, went back through those.
Right.
But so
just
my
email me, and you know I have to send it through Skype. So once you email me, we have to set Skype time.
Okay, cool. I will. My question is, have y'all found in y'all work that in trying, and class has a lot to do with this, but in trying to recreate fluke experiences of, like, let's say you were walking down the street and then had an out-of-body experience, or you're having sex and then end up in a place with no light, space, or time or something, you know, and trying to recreate situations where those things happen. I guess that's what I've been trying to do. And, you know, I thought that the things that were common in both of those were rhythm, breath, and, you know, still mind. You know, and have y'all found that it's better to try to recreate those or to just keep experimenting still?
Excellent question. Me personally, I'll try to, if it was such a profound experience, I'll try to recreate it. If it doesn't happen, I do not trip off of it, or I'll just keep going because it was that experience for that time. But there are certain things that I can keep tapping into. There's certain things that I tap into for a period of time. And there's certain things like that shit only happened once. So I just learned to accept. You know, I don't make it a rule, but I've personally learned to accept whatever comes down the pipe as that's the experience I'm supposed to have for that moment, for that time, and enjoy it.
Right.
Then, you know what I mean? Enjoy that now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Personally. Like, you know, I don't really, recreating, I'm trying to think, is there anything I try to recreate? The closest I'll come to it is, let's say, a little minor things. Usually there aren't things that are just so mind-blowing or mind-numbing, but little feelings or little zones or moods. So I'll try to create a genetic memory of that mood and try and remember these moods are just a state of mind anyway. So certain moods you can recapture in a state of mind. So through meditation, I'll try to remember the mood. And the mood is usually connected to a thought or a sound. Like, you know, let's say, for instance, here's a thought. There's a certain, I used to get on the train in Brooklyn. It was a train that was above ground. So the way it used to hit the sun created a certain mood. And that mood used to always inspire a feeling. So that feeling of comfort that I noticed or zoned or locked myself into or just became aware of by thinking or meditating on that scene, I can recreate that feeling while I'm sitting in my house in Atlanta. You get what I'm saying? So I would think of that time. Now, there's also times that I think of. Music is probably the most powerful shit to get into a zone. So it's old music. My shit is old disco shit. You know what I'm saying? I could get there and time travel back to that period. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta remember, that time was an easier time. There was no fucking computers. I didn't have to pay rent. You know what I'm saying? Basically, I had a whole bunch of titties to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? A whole bunch of potential. And so I can listen to that music and go there. One of the other things, I bought like HR Puffin stuff, Schoolhouse Rock, all them shits that you grew up with. I put that shit on and instantly transport to that time. It'll tap right into that memory. And basically the memory is you used to watch that before you went outside and played all day. You know what I'm saying? So it just inspires that fucking mood. You know what I'm saying? Especially back in the days when I used to drink. I used to drink, put that Schoolhouse Rock on. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 15, and all this shit. And I'm just up, Bill. Sitting, you got to be old school to understand that. You know what I'm saying? It's sitting on Capitol Hill. You know what I'm saying? 3 is the magic number. You be in that motherfucker high listening to that shit. You know what I'm saying? You go to a high.
Yes, it is.
Zone. Yes, it is. It's the magic number. They was dropping science on that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They got the whole number scheme on that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I might put that shit on tonight, goddamn it. And
okay.
Go right into a zone. Right into a zone by the actual. So those tools help you either reminisce or help you get into that zone to bring something up, but only if you become aware of what it is you're going for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure out what it is for you. It may be the Teletubbies. You know what I'm saying? The Magic School Bus. You may have a thing for Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street. You got to just tap into whatever, yeah, whatever it is.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers is that freaky uncle. Hey, kid, you want to ride on my knee? I was watching that shit. There was a chick in my class. She came over by an herb pack. I said, yo, let's watch Mr. Rogers. He's watching this shit on Hulu. You know what I'm saying? She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Panda? I'm like, this shit is just hot, yo. That music, ding 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 ding. He was right there, son. It's like I'm there. I'm in the neighborhood, yo. The story box. This is the magic story box. I'm like, shit.
So,
you know what I'm saying? You go right
so
there with it.
Instead of trying to recreate the experience, it's more so. Well, it's part of the experience. It's more so recreating the mood.
Yes, if that's the closest I've come to recreating the experience is I would have to say dealing with mood. Now, depending on the experience now. See, if you're talking about like you had an orgasm that was fucking mind-blowing, like it may be hard to recreate that because it was a one-time event. But your childhood, for instance, like I said, the story box, Mr. Rogers, you spent Gilligan's Island, you spent hours and hours of your life watching this in a certain zone or mood. Like, for instance, Gilligan's Island would come on at a certain time. We would do the same certain thing for years. So when I watched Gilligan's Island, I remember the rug. I remember the freezer that was in the room. We used to watch it at my babysitter's house. I could, like, remember that. I remember she had a pull-out couch. Like, the details come back just from watching the Gilligan's Island or just even thinking about it. So the mere fact that the details come back, it creates that mood because this is something I did over and over. This wasn't a one-time event like an orgasm or something that happened in Walmart. This is something that was routinely going on in my life based upon... You have the music of Gilligan's Island, you know, the theme song, the look, you know what I'm saying? And remember, during the show, they play music as well. So these things start to trigger and burn in your memory. So whereas if you use that as a tool, it could get you back into these moods or these zones. But really, these moods and the zones you're going for, you probably want the old school ones, because those were the ones that you had before you had the responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? So everything I usually do in terms of the shit I had before I became responsible or stressed. So it's all my childhood shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, my alters, Robbie the Robot, and all the rest of that old shit. Because when I look at it, it brings me back to a time where I didn't have shit to do, mood. So that's the closest I've come to it, but there's certain spiritual experiences where I'm like, this happened in this moment at this time, and it's a waste of energy to recreate it, to keep going. So you got to pick and choose what you think you can duplicate, you get what I'm saying? Or
okay.
what's even worth duplicating.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's even worth duplicating. That's because, you know, there's certain shit I watch and I go right into a zone. Like, I hadn't watched Scarface for a long time. I put that shit on and it was like I was there in the 80s again. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it created a mood. So, you know, I think that's the best I can come up with in terms of recreation.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you. That helps out a lot, just especially that with recreating the mood, and then that'll get you to as close as you're going to get to recreating any experience. So.
Yeah, you kind of got to be in touch with your subtle feelings about shit as well. And you also do things to try to remember that's what you're doing. So, for instance, when I had that certain feeling, when I would get on that train, because first and foremost, you're going somewhere. That's where you start your day. There's a feeling. So me being conscious at the time said, I'm going to remember this feeling. What do I see? What do I smell? And then you're focused in on that feeling, so then you create for yourself a trigger. These old movies and old songs are triggers that are built in based just upon time. But you can also consciously do that, create symbols and things around you that represent certain things that you choose to remember. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That you choose to remember. So, you know, you just got to really be mindful of your feelings and mindful of your mood, you know what I mean, and what inspires your mood. Smells inspire your mood. For instance, think about it. Like, there may be a lotion that your grandmother used to use. Go buy that lotion. Or perfume that your grandmother used to use. Go buy that shit. Spray that shit and be amazed of the memories that you tap into.
Now that you mentioned smell, I finally took the love bath last night that I got from you, and it smells real good. I was like, I should have took this long time ago.
Oh, yeah. It's love.
It's love. It smells like love.
It's love. Like, here's the thing, like, my grandmother used to use... It's a bath product by Vaseline. The bath bubbles, you have the pink one, the blue one, and the green one.
Mm-hmm.
You used to use the blue one. You used to turn the water blue. I didn't know for years what that shit was until I grew up.
I know.
So, boom, I will go get some of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Tap the fuck in. You know what I'm saying? And it brought me right back to that time when your grandmother used to run the tub for your ass. Oh, you know, our grandmother did for, you know, when we went over there to visit. And right back to that zone, you get what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying? But see, you know, I'm that nigga, you know what I'm saying? I still use Mr. Bubbles and shit, you know what I'm saying? That's my shit, you know what I'm saying? I wish they still made that silly soap, that shit. Niggas, you got to be your OG. Remember, you know what fucking silly soap is. You know what I'm saying? And I said, you just fucks with the silly soap. And, you know, you could just paint on the walls and shit with soap. You know what I'm saying? They had the Superman, the Batman, you know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas don't hear me, though. Yeah, if they had that shit, I'd be in the tub fucking with that shit right now. You know what I'm saying? I got rubber ducky, all that shit.
Oh, yeah. It's been verified by Khadija that you got the rubber ducky, yo.
Yeah, oh, she verified it. She certified the rubber ducky. She's like, she be laughing at my, why don't you take you and your fucking duck? Shut the fuck up. And all that singing and shit. I'm getting happy, you know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is just a... Like, he's a metaphysical duck, nigga. You're a fucking occult duck, nigga, and shut the fuck up. And she's like, she just looks sorry. Like she'll come in the bathroom and just shake her head like, you just look fucking pathetic. She had to fucking miss the bubble and his duck. I'm like, man, leave me the fuck alone. Just do my back. Like, cheapskate. Like, she can't figure my shit out. I'm like, you don't understand. This shit is most high wizardry. Shit I'm doing, it's most high wizard. This is magi shit. You know what I'm saying? This is adept shit. You know what I'm saying? This is the most esoterical duck. You know what I'm saying? In the motherfucking world, you don't understand. Like, nigga, you just sitting in some fucking Mr. Bubble, nigga. Cut it out. Like, nigga, this shit is real. Yeah, motherfucker, you're going to get a yeast infection. A yeast infection sitting in that shit. Like, you just don't understand. You understand supreme alchemy, boo. You understand supreme alchemy, boo. You know what I'm saying? You don't understand. This is the wise sage. This is the work of the wise sage. You know what I'm saying? This is shit from the priesthood, son.
All right, thank you, caller. We get ready to go to another call. We got area code 662. Area code 662. You on the line?
Yeah. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can.
Hey, I was wondering about the Mandela that's going on right now. That the whole world is looking at what's going on. It's almost like looking at a movie. I was wondering, could you decode that? By I don't understand it because I'm. The story that I read about him and the hero that they paint him on TV is two different things. I don't get it.
Right. Well, we basically broke down Mandela earlier on. That actually was the first portion of the show for about...
Oh, but don't go back.
Might want to go back to the beginning of the show. It ends at 11, so you'll be able to download it then. And you can go back and listen to the first 15, 20, well, about 10, 15 minutes of the beginning of the show after the music. And they'll be going to decoding Nelson Mandela and what actually is taking place. We compared that he died at 95, which was comparable to Gerald Ford, who died at 95, which was comparable to Ronald Reagan, who died at 95. And then the entertainers in which that died along with them, for example, Paul Walker died along with Nelson Mandela. From Fast and Furious. Then we also had Ray Charles. We also had James Brown, who died with Reagan and Gerald Ford. So, you know, so it's just things like that that we go back and check out the beginning of the show. And you can probably get more understanding, overstanding about what actually was taking place.
Yeah.
And you know something? We have to watch Fast and Furious because the whole Fast and Furious is about that chick returning from the dead.
That's right.
That thing returning from the dead. So Khadijah watched it, but we're gonna buy it. It's already out. She may have bought it today because that's her shit. But it was about the chick returning from the dead. So it was about everlasting life, which they're always trying to do. So I definitely want to see what the movie is about now.
Have you heard about that? It was an ancient. Asiatic prophecy about Mandela and Tupac, where when you hear about those two names, that you will know that the ancient one have returned. Have you ever heard about that prophecy? And you can look through the West, the people from the West going to fulfill that prophecy. Have you heard that?
Which group of people?
The Asian.
Yeah,
the Asian. Like an
Angkor Wat.
Yes.
Angkor Wat. I didn't know they had a name, Tupac and Mandela.
They wanted the names, but if you hear that name, you know that the ancients are returned, that the prophecy have came true. So I was just wondering, is there anything like that tying into our last days?
If it was said, then it's going to happen. So it's just a matter of time. So. If it's been said, you know, sure enough. If it hasn't been said, it's gonna happen any goddamn way. So, you know what I mean? The ancients have returned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They haven't returned anyway. So I mean, I haven't heard that in particular. And what Eugene Adams said it?
Right, Eugene Adams. Right, Africa's in Asia. Check that out.
Yes. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Africans in Asia. I don't remember him saying Tupac or Mandela, but you know my attention sometimes ain't there. But I know he talks about prophecy, and he showed about the Buddha's rising in the West. He showed playing horns. He showed us shooting dope and all of these things that would happen right before the Buddha in the West. I don't remember him saying Tupac or Mandela.
Yeah. Okay.
But not to say he didn't.
Okay.
You know, but shit, I'm comfortable with that. You know what I'm saying? If you said it, then I believe it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm, no problem.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, peace.
Yeah, if you missed the beginning of the show, you probably want to get some detail with that. There was some supreme information that Aleem let out, so you probably want to get some. You probably want to get that information by downloading the show at 11 o'clock, sis.
No doubt. And for those that want to call in, definitely call in at 626-414-3535. At 626-414-3535. Come on and call on in and get those questions answered by Brother Panic. We have approximately about a half an hour left. So come on and get your questions answered. All right, press one when you come on, and that way we know, and we bring you on the show. Okay, we got area code 210. Area code 210, you're on the line.
Yo, what's going on, Aleem and Panic?
Yeah. Hey, what's up,
bro?
What's going on? Just wanted to say, I just got this book, Hidden Power, How to Unleash the Power of the Subconscious Mind. I'm going through that, and I'm loving it right now.
By James Van Fleet?
I got that Yeah.
Daniel Fleet book. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
That one's real good. I'm also gonna get a book on that book you were talking about, Darkness Visible, but
because
I want to start to get more into meditation more, and so I was wondering what did you get the most out of that book?
Oh, that's a powerful book. What you'll get out of that is the understanding of dark science. It demystifies this question about darkness, you know, because we have this darkness has this reputation of dark versus light, good versus evil. So they take you out of that fantasy, and he explains the key understanding, the key in ritual, the key of the tool of darkness. And how it's used in a lot of initiatory rituals and things that happen while people are in darkness. You know, he explains in detail a lot of the old rituals about darkness. For instance, he'll tell you for a certain amount of days, you start to see in total darkness, you start to see fluorescent light. And then you'll start to see the spirit world straight out once your eyes are shut down. So, of course, no one has the time or patience or can do that over a certain amount of days. But him just explaining that kind of puts a whole new understanding on what darkness truly is. So once you read that book, the whole concept of, especially there's a lot of us still struggling with good versus evil, dark versus light, even though we're cheerleading, well, dark is good. I think dark is cool because you're a black person. But it has nothing to do with you being black or white people. It has everything to do with dark light, dark energy. And so it's an excellent book that demystifies this whole concept of darkness being evil. And he gives you example after example across many different cultures of how darkness is used, how darkness is respected, how darkness is one of the major tools of alchemy, so-called dark light. There's a light in the darkness. So out of darkness comes light. And it tells you many methods and ways and ancient systems that they use to promote and raise up dark energy as a part of alchemy.
Excellent book.
And like I said, even if it didn't go through all of that shit, the shit is about 39 cents on Amazon or some shit. Might as well have it. By Simon Buxton. Buxton, I don't know if Ross Haven is down with that one too. But Darkness Visible is the name of the book. So yeah,
great,
that's
thank you, brother.
Another good book, not as good as Darkness Visible, is an author called Constantanos, starts spelled with a K. He has a website, but you'd probably be better off buying his books from Amazon. He did one called Nocturnaton, It's kind of amateur-ish, but he's a good amateur writer. So if you haven't been into it or anything, Constantinos is a good guy to start off with because, you know, he's just the facts, you know. Rock is north and wind wind is north and rock is south and this to the east and that to the west. All the technical understanding about magic and drawing pentagrams and all of that jazz. He's got nocturnal witchcraft, gothic grimoire. He just did a vampire book because you could tell he used to be a gothic dude, and maybe two other good books. And one of them, again, is Nocturnaton. He did Seven Ways to Speak to Spirits and so on and so forth. So he's a good guy to have cheap books for just the ABCs of magic. The Nocturnaton, he has a few dark meditations. So as I believe there's some dark meditations in Darkness Visible, but they're more decoding darkness. For exercises, that Constantinos book is fairly good, Nocturnaton, because he'll give you a few meditations. All his meditations are to the god Hades, because he's trying to make it as dark as he knows, which is the Greek Titan Hades. But, you know, you can go with anybody, Osiris or whatever dark energy you want to deal with. He uses Hades. But he has a few kick-ass meditations and a few, sigil writing systems and all the rest of that in that book. So Constantinos is a good thing to start out with as well. Just like get an understanding. Darkness Visible to get a true understanding of darkness, to demystify. And Constantinos, he gives you meditations. He also helps to demystify it as well. So that's a good one. So that's a good one.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good one. Is there anything else on dark? I mean, everything else, I mean, is dark, but it's more magical. I'm looking at my books now, but anything that goes right to it. The only other book, if you can get it, is The Magician. What's the name? Peter something. Hold on, let me find out for you 1 second. If you can get this, Peter Cooper, I believe, Philip Cooper, The Magician, A Study of Effective Magic, if you can get it. It deals heavy with the subconscious mind and the subconscious mind's role in magic. Let me see what else we got by way of black. It's pretty good, but I'll still let you know. There's a book called The Black Arts by Richard Cavendish. This is something good to have in the library. Constantino's name is spelled Konstantinos. That's the author. he's a good basic guy to have. I'm looking to see if there's anything dark. Anything else I'm looking at is like, nothing that's in the same vein as Darkness Visible. Everything else is a little bit more expanded. So, I mean, let me see, Mystical Dragon. Those two, that'd be good by way of dark magic if you've been with this dark shit. And Richard Cavendish is okay in that level. But he'll break down things like Baphomet and give you a certain understanding of the magic. Like I said, the all-time favorite is Lieber Noll and the Psychonaut. An Introduction to Chaos Magic by Peter J. Carroll. And Prime Chaos. by Phil Hine, H-I-N-E. Those are excellent books about chaos magic, like I said, which is basically melanin magic, which is actually your natural state of being. If they had the right books, try to understand the concept. And, you know, the concept of your natural creative thought. So what you find and do naturally, you know, they still have, you know, they have to struggle with it. And one of their biggest breakthroughs was the Chaos Magic book. And they have a name, he's calling it Kia, or referring to this magical substance, Kia, through the book, which is actually melanin. So if they say melanin, the game is over. That's, you just basically said niggas and not me. So what I notice in these books, they'll have every name but melanin for the substance of melanin. So it becomes butter, elixir. In fact, on my YouTube page, it's called Lectures, Bobby has a lecture called The History of Melanin, a must-watch. The History of Melanin is a must-watch. I've been getting a few white emails, and they seem to want to say, first and foremost, they exclaim how they're my brothers, but not without them saying how melanin is really not that important. You know what I'm saying? So I'll get an email. White people will say, melanin is not really what makes you a god. You know, in the fifth dimension, are we not colors? What color would you be? First of all, who the fuck said I'm going to the fifth dimension? I don't know who the fuck said that. And technically, it has nothing to do with colors. How you show up here is a color, maybe only a representation of a power. From, let's even say, pretend and say the fifth dimension. You may be only a reflection of it. And this is under the assumption that you niggas is going to show up there. But to supersede all that bullshit, fuck a fifth dimension, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm an interdimensional being. You know what I mean? If I'm in the fifth dimension, that means I'm not in the sixth dimension and I'm just as fucked up. So, but let's pretend. So they tell you melanin is not important. So one of the archive tapes I put up, without having to, you know, I don't even reply to that bullshit. Let's put up Bobby, The History of Melanin, where he's going through detail about the science of melanin. And basically he makes the claim, backs up the claim, and with his research, that alchemy is the study of melanin, the end. So anybody who says they're conscious, he breaks down in detail how, if you're saying you're an alchemist, a magician, or whatever it is they even claim to be, then you're studying melanin, period. And whether they call it that is a different story. And he goes through all the names, which are a lot, that can be referred to as melanin. You know, Merkaba, butter, Kia, all, you know, elixirs, and all sorts of, and he goes through at least 10 to 15 names that is come up encoded as melanin. So even the shit they studying and think that they're getting over because they don't say the word melanin, studying melanin. And this is proven in that. So that's a must-watch. Bobby Hemmings' lecture, The History of Melanin, which I have up on my YouTube Occult Lectures at hotmail.com. Now, I did a breakdown of The Wizard of Oz and connected it to the chakras. People liked it a lot. I'm going to do one now on Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Like I say, I don't think they're worthy of a whole blog talk, so I usually just do they're about 45 minutes. I'll just break it down on YouTube. I don't think I'm going to call people's attention for that. You know, it's something like a hobby, more or less. So I think I'm going to do Charlie and them next, because that was a hell of a chakra story as well. And usually those go well because it's classic movies, and it shows people that they ain't bullshitting with the occult and how they do, which we should know by now. But you know, always decoding, and you know, like I said, it helps people out. So,
you know what, too, God, in physics, because I got a mathematics, but in college, instead of them saying melanin, they'll say a dark colored can, and how it can hold the, you know, the different degrees of heat, you know. But instead of saying melanin, it's a painted can black.
Yeah, they will not say melanin. Once you say melanin, it's been associated with black folks. So once you say that, the jig is up. So you know, in movies, it's this evil substance. Like in especially in the scary movies of the 90s and the 80s, you know, you'll hear them, there's this substance that's returned, this ancient evil, the stuff, ghost ship, and all the rest of that. There's always this black substance, the blob. There's always this black substance or this substance that's kind of taken over. They'll never say melanin. And even this whole last Thor movie was probably one of the baddest melanin movies ever. Like, something's in you. I got to watch that again. Like, something's in you that's ancient and evil. That is just melanin. You know what I mean? And they just bring it. He's like, no, I need that. And the black nigga woke up and said, I need that back. You know what I'm saying? Basically, I've been misusing the melanin. You know what I'm saying? I need it back. And so like, they'll never say it. You know what I'm saying? They'll never say it. And the closest one to saying it, if they haven't said it, and I believe they have, is like Gerald Massey. And then he got, if he didn't say melanin, he still pointed out that black folks are the ancient ones that are coming back. That's what all this shit is about, blah, blah, blah. In other words, he just gave credit to the black people, and that was it for him. You know what I mean? As a scholar, they shut him down. And
right, the closest probably in the movie would be the movie Dune, when they said melange.
And they show it all the time, the necromongers and Riddick. That black mist, they show it all the time. It's just
right.
You know, we're just taught to not acknowledge it or hate it. We don't understand. And even see what they did to try to shut it down was say melanin was just a part of your skin color. So that that connected it to black people. You know, there's levels of melanin in your air. Neuromelanin. In fact, it said, you know, when you see this image of the Fighting Irish, and you ever see a white boy fight, you'd be pounding their face in a hamburger meat, and they'd still be like, come on, let's go, buddy. And like, their lip is hanging off. He said, this is not because they're superior or tough, because they have very little neuromelanin, and they actually don't feel it. So you smack the shit out of a nigga, ow, because you actually feel this shit because of your melanin. You get what I'm saying? With lack of melanin, you pounding them out. They don't even know they hurt to the next fucking day. You know what I'm saying? You always hear about them getting beat up and dying the next day in the hospital. It's like, well, you was fighting, you know what I'm saying, for 17 hours, you know what I'm saying, just getting beat in the head. And you should have, come on, Rocky, and all this shit. Nah. Cut my eyes, Adrian. It's Adrian. It's like, you ain't got no melanin, dude. Melanin. Call him Adrian. You should be calling melanin. Melanin. Then like because they have no neuromelanin, and so it's very hard for them to get a signal to their brain, and so there's inner ear melanin. So once Richard King and these guys came out. And Carol Barnes, and especially Richard King, who started teaching on different levels of melanin, what melanin really does, melanin in the eye, why we taste more, why we hear more, why we see deeper. You know what I'm saying? That's why they're looking at you. You ever see a white person look at you and be blinking 1,000 times? Because it's like them looking at the sun. They can't take it. They can't look you directly in the fucking eyes. You know what I'm saying? That's based upon your melanin hue. Now, but what they did was, instead of really giving a true understanding of melanin, they just said, that's just what makes black people black. So when now in the occult world, if you say the word melanin, then it's connected to black people for that reason. And so they can't say it because now you're already trying to shut it down in terms of what it really is. You just made it something for your skin color. That's why these white people have the audacity to email me and speak lowly of, like, your God because of melanin. This is poppycock. They're saying this because they don't understand what melanin really is, how instrumental it is in its entirety. They're just thinking that it makes you a dark-skinned person. And because you're dark-skinned, we're living off of that. And for the most part, that's all black people really got. I'm a black queen. That's why I'm a queen. It's like, nah, You have superior genetics. The end. And so like, if I was decide to indulge this white boy, I'm like, my genetics are superior. Where I'm going after this is based upon work that I've already done. Your body is putrid. You know what I'm saying? You got a long way to go. And I'm one of the sensitive black guys. I think they can have alchemy and eventually become niggers and eventually naked because they started off from a nigger gene. You know what I'm saying? They fall down that scale, but I'm one of the guys that think they, you know, if a roach could evolve, I believe they could evolve. It ain't happening with us. It ain't happening nowhere in our time, but I think it can happen. Because there's a lot of black people that think they're about to disappear. It was just a moment. And, you know, it is what it is. But all of that to say, they backed themselves in the corner where they can't use the word melanin. You know, they backed themselves in the corner where they can't use the word melanin. Fine with me because they can't use melanin anyway. You know, it's fine with them, they can't use it anyway. So, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, Brother Panic, we got 7 more minutes, and we don't have any more right now, but if there's one caller that want to get it in before the 7 minutes, 626-4-3535, that's 626-414-3535. Give us a call. If not, Brother Panic, I need a closing remark.
All right. We'll talk if somebody comes on. Just interrupt me. And what we'll do is I'll be back next week.
Well, hold
you
on, because they already doing it. All right, we got Eric Cole 210. Eric Cole 210, you're on the line. Greetings, peace.
Yo.
Lisa.
All right, we got area code 504. You're on the line.
Hello.
Peace.
Yes, greetings.
Hey, I just wanted to say I recently went back and heard the lecture Destroy Religion, and I really appreciated it and enjoyed the lecture, and I think it was like the exact explanation that's needed right now.
Okay.
And
good.
I also want to ask, do you have any updates on your book?
Yes. I was supposed to edit it today. I didn't get a chance. So we're going to try to reschedule, but we got 3 more chapters to do and formatting it, then I'm putting it out. So it's just about 3 more chapters to proofread, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But all the writing is done. So
okay.
It's a matter of timing now. The person who's doing the work is just a matter of getting our watches synchronized. But once that happens, we'll get it out the way. So it's coming soon. It's coming real soon. And when it does, I'm going to make a big stink over it. All this talk, I'm going to make a big-ass stink over it. So you'll know when it's that time.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be soon, real soon.
All
right. It's a matter of synchronizing our watches. And I'm glad that lecture worked out for you. And Again, if you're not too familiar with my work or vaguely familiar, just email me at panicpack@hotmail.com, and I'll be happy to send links to all the lectures I've ever done for free. So if you need the links, go ahead and just shoot me an email. And, of course, like I said, there's always classes, and I have plenty of products, panicpack@hotmail.com. So, you got to get at me.
All right.
All right, but I'm glad that lecture's helping you.
Yeah,
right,
thank you.
Now. All right, we're going to go back to area code 210. 210, you're on the line.
Oh, my bad. It is still kept me on.
What up?
I actually did want to say appreciate the classes also, man. I really appreciate it. Everything worked out pretty well for me. Started doing getting more serious with authors and whatnot.
Who's this?
Terrence.
Oh, Terrence. What up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I just want to let you know, everything worked out real well for me.
Excellent.
We're looking forward to take Aileen's class also. One of the things that helped me out was I got an ancestor wall and put Bruce Lee up on one of them, and I asked him to give me a teacher. And a few days later, brother came in my job, and we started chatting for a while. And he actually offered to teach me Shingi or a style of Kung Fu. So, things like that happening real quick.
It blows me away. Good. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. You know what I'm saying? Start shaping our own reality. That's good to hear. Yes, another satisfied customer.
Exactly.
It's a very good idea to take Aileen's course, too. Very good idea. Very good idea.
Aileen, I had a question for you also, man.
Yes.
How was that trip that you took to Mexico?
Oh, it was excellent, brother. It was about 19 of us, and we just went to the mounds, well, to the pyramid sites, and actually we got into the pyramids and actually did a ritual. Brother Azariah, my wife, and his wife and several others actually was inside of the pyramids doing rituals. So we got a chance to feel the ancestral energy.
We also saved some Mexicans who were just floating. They were screaming, "Ayúdame, ayúdate, ayúdate." So, the whole ship turned around and went and got them. So we really had a great time.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Real cool.
Oh, yeah. And I think we only got less than a minute left. So, Brother Penny, you want to close us out?
Okay. We'll be back next week. First World Order Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Doing what we do. We're going to keep it science night. Ain't nothing changed. We're going to have some powerful lectures coming soon. Right now we're doing Q&A, get people back in the mood, let people know we're still in effect. Hit us up. You can hit drleemelbay.com.